Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio! This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and babies, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Abbott, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
The shit is bananas.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope for that cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black me. Ow.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is January 23rd, 2012. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. Let me see. I'm trying to get this thing to load up. It's all fucked up here. I should be joined shortly by my co-host for the evening. And, you know, got a bunch of stuff to talk about. I obviously have some football to talk about. You know, WWE, we'll definitely be covering that. You know, I watched Raw. I actually watched the whole Raw, which is rare for me. But, you know, the week before Royal Rumble, figure I got to get that in and then, you know, get the build to it, you know, or what they claimed was the build to that. And then, you know, next week we'll go over the actual Rumble. So just waiting for her to call in. As usual, I'm having issues with my computer, so I'm half doing, excuse me, off of the iPad and half of, off of the computer. So, you know, normal difficulties, nothing out of the ordinary. Let me see if I got anything to play in the time being while I try to work out my issues here. Let me see. All right. Yeah, I guess let me try to reboot my computer. Just play this real quick and then come right back.
Yo, I don't want the Dougie, I just want money. Study under the understudy, the 120. Young dummy, can't spar. No life, my flow tight, like your pants on. You don't got a chance, pa. Hands on community. Malachi York, freaking see your fucking eulogy. Rough jewelry. What jewelry? I took this from another rapper, slapped him with the jewelry G. Cornball rappers, I see him on BET. Relieved of the jewelry, interview beef DVD. PTNT, the flow dynamite. Niggas so-so, bozos ain't rhyming right. I hit the line of white, I smoke a double green. Niggas call it purple, what the fuck you mean? Fuck a fist fight, I'm gunning you rappers. I don't give a fuck about none of y'all rappers. Pimps play shit. The pimps stay lit. My bitch stay dipped with the Richard Bay tits. Niggas say shit, shit. They say it ain't shit. Shut the fuck up. Nigga, I'm nothing to play with. I bust heated at your whole damn click. Blow. Sean Price, the leader of boot camp. Click down. Admire the admiral, animal rap. Smack the shit out of a nigga with hands of his hat. Banging on wax. Niggas don't bang in the street. Banging online, niggas don't beg in the street, playing for keeps, keep playing. I slam your ass on your face till your fucking teeth breaking. Big, the jerk been retired, I'm nice, so I'm back, nigga. Smack, earth, wind, fire, and ice out that nigga. Rap nigga, I doubt if there's nigga doing it like me, fuck out of here. Big.
All right, well, I finally got my computer booted back up, and then had my co-host on the other line, and then she fell off. So I'm waiting for her to call back in now, and then we'll get this show going. Yeah, I still the same problems I've been talking about for the past 6 months with my computer is the same thing I'm dealing with now. It's got like that Magic Johnson age that it keeps living, but it's gotta be fucking it up some way. So you know, you do five things and then it's like, oh wait a minute, gotta freeze up, and then you try to run a virus scan, the thing gets like 75% through and then just completely freezes. So I deal with that as I try to put the show up, and you know, this is what it is. So looking at the iPad, you only have so much control over it, and you know, try to get it all going. Like I said, I'm just waiting on Chrissy to call back in, and because I don't want to start hitting topics or anything like that, and then have to go back over them, even though I've done that before, so it would not be the first time. I remember, you know, what was it, 2 weeks ago, or almost 2 weeks ago, I did that NFL show. I did about 45 minutes by myself on football, 45 minutes to an hour by myself on football. Was about to wrap it up. It was all just football. It was a Saturday show. And went about an hour, and I was just about to wrap it up, and Dube finally called in, and I went 2 hours on the same thing I already talked about with him. But it was far more entertaining, you know, with another person at that point. So, again, hopefully any minute, Chrissy will be back on. This stupid computer always holds me up. I don't have the actual show up on my computer. I have it on my iPad, and it's showing no call-in numbers as of right now. So once I get the actual Blog Talk page up on my computer, I'll be able to know whether it's, you know, maybe she's on hold it and I can't see it. I don't know. Like I said, the iPad has its limitations. It's definitely good for what it is. Let me see. now trying to open Blog Talk. I know this is fantastic radio for anyone who's listened to it, but it's free. So, you know, you skip forward until all the babbling stops, and then eventually there'll be topics. Eventually there'll be topics. So, yeah, okay. Got the Blog Talk back up. And chat just about back up. All right. Now I'm just waiting on Chrissy. So hopefully she'll be on any minute. I do not want to start playing another song because that's when she'll call in and then watch. There we go. All right. Now I think I got Chrissy.
You there? Yes, I'm here.
All right. Cool.
Can you hear
you doing,
me okay?
Chrissy? Yeah, I hear you fine.
Okay, good, because I live in, like, the black hole of New Jersey, so, like, I'm in my house, and I'm not sure if you can hear me okay, but I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good. You know, same old stuff. Yeah, I had to, like, reload my computer and everything like that, so I started playing a song, and then I seen you pop up, and I'm like, oh, man, here we go. So
I thought I was a little bit late. I was like, oh, man, I'm going to get in trouble.
A little bit, but no big deal. It happened. So we got, you know, a bunch of different things to talk about. A lot of random news. We'll go over to WWE, the Raw. I actually watched a little TNA this week, which is completely unlike me. But
you're gonna have to fill me in on that because I don't think was that the wedding one or is that something different?
Yeah, I watched it in as fast forward as I could, and then at the end I was like, well, I gotta see what this is about, because initially I thought Jeez was gonna be on it because he had posted that he was in Orlando on Saturday, so I'm like, and he put Impact Wrestling and stuff, so I'm like, oh man, I gotta watch this thing on Thursday now, so. I fast forward through pretty much the whole show, no G's, and I'm like, oh, man. I later find out they were, like, taping something that's going to air, like, 3 years from now or something. So I'm like, oh, yeah. I think he said April. So I'm like, well, that's right around the corner.
Okay,
so
well,
I was like, well, I might as well watch the end of this thing. And, you know, they have Brooke Hogan, who looks like Roger from American Dad, come out there in her wedding getup, and she's going to marry Bully Ray. And, you know, they march half the locker room out in suits, and they're all standing there just looking just completely silly, because, I mean, wedding angles, how often do they normally look okay? And then this is also TNA, so.
Right. I did see they had, like, Dreamer. I think Spike Dudley was on there. And then, like, all the girls were wearing, like, it didn't really look like bridesmaid dresses. It kind of looked like, I don't know, like I'm 17 years old going to the prom. I want to get laid. Like that kind of like get up.
Right.
But
yeah.
Yeah, I did. Now that I think about it, I did actually like catch the end of TNA as well. Watch that shit wedding. So.
Yeah. So then what it pretty much amounted to is like their reason for this whole wedding thing was to pretty much bring Taz in as part of Aces and Eights.
Mm-hmm.
Which I still don't know like where that changes anything, because, I mean, he was as much as a commentator in TNA. So it's not like, you know, this is the human suplex machine Taz that's going to shake the world. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen now.
Right. So was he doing commentary up until this point, or, like, was he not doing commentary? I have no idea.
I don't either. As far as I know, he was doing commentary, and then they more or less had him, like, be the MC of the wedding.
Oh.
And then
weird.
At some point he said, like, oh, it's getting a little hot in here. Let me take this jacket off. And then he had, like, the Aces and Eights vest on. And I'm like, it's just a New York thing, I guess. It's like you hear enough people living in Jersey that are...
Yeah,
very,
they
very
confuse
similar.
Us all the time, New York, New Jersey. They think we're, like, right, you know, right next door.
Yeah. So he does that, and then, like, everybody starts punching each other and stuff. And at whatever point, Brooke's top completely, like, falls out. So now she's trying to hold everything in, which is completely
mm-hmm.
out. And there's, like, they're trying to shield her, and then she runs over and, like, pretty much lays over Hogan, who's supposedly, you know, knocked out, and he's
right.
Rumbling. go get Bully, go check on Bully. And she's like, my tits are out. They even had it on. Yeah, they had it on Botchamania where they actually, like, showed you where she said that. And
oh, God.
Yeah, what a way to botch the end of a show. If wedding angles could get as bad as this, they did.
And I usually pop for the wedding, like the wedding stuff, like when WWE did it and stuff like that. Like, I always look forward to wrestling weddings, but for this one, like, I guess that's why I tuned in. I was like, oh, there could be a wrestling wedding. Like, even though as, like, horrible as I think TNA can be at times, I hear wrestling wedding and I'm like, oh shit, I gotta watch that. And it was just awful. I didn't understand it either. I don't know where they're going with it. I don't understand this whole Aces and Eights thing. I feel like it's been going on for like 5 years and like there's no payoff. Like, I have no idea where they're going, what direction they're going in.
Yeah, me either. They had their big pay-per-view, and I think that was the one they put D-Von in on that pay-per-view. And then it was like, what? That can't be it. And yeah, it kept going from there and kept going. And they've added like another two people. And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the payoff is. I mean, you're completely right on that. Cause I, you know, a lot of people, you know, thought Hogan or even Brooke was going to be the big part of it, that, you know, swerve angle type thing. But and we got Taz and still no direction. I don't watch it
but
enough to know.
But he's not the leader, right? Like, I guess, like, the whole payoff is to find out who the leader of Aces and Eights is. I guess that maybe that's what they're trying to do, because he's not the leader of the group, or is he?
No, I don't think so, but him only being a mouthpiece, I really don't know. They did the same thing when they put D-Von in. Everyone said, oh, wow, is he the leader? And then you go, like, a day and go, no, he couldn't be. So I don't...
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they have a commentator now in Aces and Eights, apparently.
It's like the new Blackout all over again. There's just people coming in and going. It's like a revolving door.
Yeah, that could work. They could be like their Larry Legend and we'll come out and ring entrances and stuff. I don't know.
I don't know. I never understood TNA, and I still don't understand it. Just when I think that they might do something right, they pull something else, so.
Yeah, so now the only other thing I know about TNA is Geez has a match in like 6 months, and that he's already wrestled. And
April's not that far away. We're almost in February, so
okay,
like,
okay.
A couple months.
Well, I know. But then they're going overseas now, I guess, so they have to play up a Jeff Hardy injury angle because, well, he can't travel out of the country.
Okay, I guess that's why they're doing that. I have no idea, but I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what it would seem like, because it's this, like, phantom injury where it's like, I don't know, he was fine yesterday, but, yeah, he's out for at least until they get back. So, and he's one of their big faces, so.
I can't believe he's still alive and kicking. Good for him, I guess.
Yeah, it's surprising, and he's still super over, and he's still, well, I don't want to just say still working hard, because there was that point where him and Sting had that 30-second match that Sting's, like, yelling at him and had to force him into a finish.
God, what was that? That was, like, awful. I forgot all about that. But I did see that match. I guess he was just so messed up on whatever, I guess. He just didn't know where he was. I don't even know what happened with that.
Yeah, he was completely laying on Sting, and Sting had to, like, physically turn him around to Scorpion Death Drop him, and it was like, oh, Jeff.
Jeff.
Why? But at whatever point since then, he's been still, you know, taking bumps all over the place for as long as he's been around, and he's still getting over with the crowd. He's painting his face, you know, 10 colors, and the kids love him, and, you know. So he's still working for the company. I mean, you know, Matt does a different version of that on the indies, but.
Right.
You know, I don't know. Somehow he's still going. Whether that's good or bad, I'm not really sure, but.
Well, I mean, I did watch when he was, like, I guess, feuding with Austin Aries, and, like, those matches were actually pretty good. I think we talked about that the last time I was on, that I was surprised I caught some of the TNA pay-per-view, I guess, when they worked, and I thought, I was like, oh, God, this could be awful, and they had, like, amazing matches. Like, I couldn't believe, like, I really enjoyed them. Like, they like, killed each other. So, I mean,
yeah.
he's having good matches, so, I mean, good for him, I guess, if he's clean or whatever he's doing, I guess, good for him, so.
Right. Another, I don't even know what to call this. Steel horsing.
Oh, my God. Oh, God, I'm so glad you brought that up.
you know, for anybody who did not see what happened, you know, this guy pretty much got into a match with somebody. I think it was in Florida, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, let me see. Bring it up so I can give you maybe a little more specific. Yeah, it was in Sanford, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And Steel Horse Vachon was wrestling Steve Tommy Taylor. And they had, you know, were going through the match. And at some point, I guess, Steel Horse got angry. And he tried to stiff Taylor on like a... It was one of the weirdest camel clutches I've ever seen, because he stayed in that kind of like amateur wrestling position rather than like pulling his arms up.
Right.
And then he, you know, he kind of jumped down on him, which I guess hurt the guy's lower back. And then, you know, the guy got up, punched him in the face, and, well, Steel Horse called the cops.
Was born.
Yes. Steel Horse called the cops. And also
oh,
a much bigger guy than the guy who punched him in the face. I have to add that. And, that's something else.
So obviously, like, nobody knew who this Steel Horse Vachon guy is. I guess, like, maybe, like, some people in Florida or whatever, but I've obviously never heard of him. And I woke up, like, in the morning, and, like, this steel horsing shit was, like, everywhere, and I was like,
yeah.
What is everybody talking about? So I had posted something about it, and then I got, like, a bunch of links and, like, articles. It was, like, on Lords of Pain and, like, all these websites, and I read it, and I was like, what? Like, I thought it was, like, a joke, but, like, has anybody, like, spoken to this dude after? Like, did he say, like, why he did this? Because, like, right now he's, like, the hottest thing on the indies right now. Like, everybody's
yeah.
talking about him. Like, I don't know. Does he realize that? Has he released a statement? Like, I haven't seen anything.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything, you know, after that. I've got to figure he's got to end up on, like, Tosh.0 or something after that. I mean, it's gotten popular enough, so I can imagine, and I know Tosh is into wrestling, so I could definitely see him pulling him up on there, but...
Oh, my God.
Ugh. I was talking to somebody after that about that, and they were like, you know, I can't even believe that this is, you know, still being mentioned, and I said, well, you know, honestly, no one would know this guy unless this happened, and he's like, oh, you know, don't worry, $5 wrestling will book him, and then, you know, any minute. And I said, well, yeah, then he'll be no-selling Freight Train. He'll be calling 911 saying, I don't know, officer, the guy said choo-choo. He tried to run me over. You know, I don't know what else. Didn't get the license plate.
I hope nobody books this guy. I mean, like, yeah, it's like all, it's funny and we're joking about it. But in reality, it's like, come on, dude. Like, seriously, like, we're all having a laugh about it. But if people start booking this, like, mark, like, seriously, that's what he is. He's Mark. Like, obviously he got pissed for whatever reason and decided to call the cops. And now this whole, like, everybody's obviously laughing at him. But, like, as far as, like, booking him on other shows, like, I hope to God nobody books him, because then it's just going to be way worse. People always complain about, like, oh, this person's killing the business and doing this and doing that. Well, obviously,
right.
That would be killing the business. So, like, hopefully, that this is just maybe the first and last of we hear of Mr. Steel Horse Vachon. So,
But could you imagine if this was the same situation and Steel Horse was up against like a Nick Gage, for instance?
Oh God!
How much worse would that call be?
Well, if it happened at like CZW or something, like DJ would have like lost the company in a lawsuit. There'd be
yeah.
no CZW. Like it probably would have been 100 times worse than it was.
Yeah.
It's so funny because I was joking with one of my friends about it. Like, obviously, I was, like, joking about it, like, on Twitter and Facebook because I just couldn't believe it. And I was just getting a kick out of it. And I was joking with one of my friends, and I was like, oh, God, I need, like, a Steel Horse shirt. And he's like, oh, I'm sure, like, eventually, like, somebody will, like, make a shirt. There'll be shirts circulating around. And, like, I want to say in a matter of hours, Barbershop Window released the shirt. Like for $17.99, you can get a Steel Horse shirt. So people are like jumping all over. I'm pretty sure they're selling a bunch of them too. So you'll probably see like people with Steel Horse shirts like walking around.
Yeah. Because you figure, I mean, if it was like a Gage, he probably would have caught a chair shot that he didn't like, and then he would have been on the phone with the cops saying, first he called me a pussy, then he said I'm gonna die. And then that happened, and I have all the evidence.
I'm sure that Nick Gage would be in prison again.
Yeah. The pre-match promo alone would be evidence to keep him away for a little while.
Oh, God. Well, Steel Horse Vachon, please just go away and just retire, please.
Absolutely. Yeah, hold on. I got someone's on hold. Let me see who this is. Take this call real quick.
Okay.
Hey, you're on. Who's this?
Hey, it's Andrew.
Hey, what's on? What's going on, man?
What's happening? What you guys up to?
Not much. Chatting about wrestling.
Wrestling. Lots of wrestling.
I heard a little bit about that.
Some steel horsing.
I just want to check in and see how it's going. Now that I haven't really talked to you a whole lot recently, man.
Cool. Yeah, I definitely haven't heard from you in a while. Anybody who doesn't know, this is Andrew. He does the Stern Nation podcast. He is actually going to be attending the Ronnie Block Party this upcoming weekend, right?
It's going to be a big weekend, man. We might be doing a live show from there.
Yeah, out in AC?
Yeah.
That should be crazy.
So it'll be a good time. Wanted to call him. Congratulations to the 49ers.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, man. I definitely got to get into that for a minute earlier.
I figured you were going to talk about that. I was like, there's no way he's going to like end the show without talking about the Niners.
Oh, you already know. I got quite a bit to get into about that. Just some of the backlash I caught as well, because it's all good.
When do you not catch backlash? My question.
I don't know.
That's what anyone who watches JCAT's Facebook here is, you know, like, if I didn't know him and know he was a good dude, I'd be like, this is, like, the most obnoxious bastard I ever met in my life.
Yeah.
Especially on Sundays. Sundays tend to be a little bit worse than the other days of the week.
Absolutely. I actually seen a few people, I'm trying to remember exactly who did it, but somebody just wrote a status after we won the game saying, well, I guess I got to hear another 2 weeks of JCAT shit on Sundays. Just like, you're not lying. Actually, you get next weekend off because they're, you know, they got the Pro Bowl thing. And then the next weekend, just don't even go on Facebook. It's going to be really bad. I'm taking over. So,
well,
yeah, man.
And everything.
Yeah, man, I'm super excited, and if you bet against us, I apologize in advance.
I myself did not.
Okay.
I'm given 7 points, so not too bad.
Right. All right.
But, you know, I just want to check in and, say what's up and let you know I hadn't forgotten about your show or anything.
Awesome, man. It's good to hear from you. Plug your show, man.
Oh, yeah, man. We got a big, big show this week. Stephanie, my co-host, she was Ronnie's Hot Chick of the Week last week. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I saw that on the Facebook.
Yeah. So she caught a lot of shit, you know, from the assholes on Twitter and shit. So She's going to talk about that. We're also going
see,
to...
See, Chrissy, Twitter's not all good.
And, you know, and especially, like, the Stern fans. Like, she was good. I won't get... I'll let her get into that tomorrow. But I know
right.
you'll be listening. And
sure.
So we'll also be joined by this week's Hot Chick of the Week also. She's going to come on for a little bit.
Okay.
I've gotten to know her a lot over the last few weeks, and she's a good girl too. And also Tabitha Stevens might be calling in for a bit. So
cool.
Some of our favorite people, and you can find all of our stuff because we're broadcasting live every week now from Codebase Radio. Go to sternnationpodcast.com, and that directs you to our Codebase page where you can get the links to. Listen live, links to the chat room, a bio of Steph and myself, everywhere to download, all that kind of good stuff.
Cool. Yeah, because you guys confuse me. You jumped around a bunch of times, and I lose track. I just yell at people to just go to your Facebook page and figure that shit out.
Yeah, because what happened was...
that's how I plug things now.
Because we were on Mish's server for a while, and then when their site went down, we went down, so I was just like, it's gone down like 3 or 4 times. Let me just set something up and handle it myself.
Right.
You know, for a while I didn't have to pay for it, basically. It's what it amounted to. But, you know, yeah, just go to sternnationpodcast.com. That'll give you everything you need.
Cool.
All right, man. Well, I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, no problem, man.
All right,
talk
thanks.
To you later. Yeah, that's Andrew. He's a good dude. He does his show over there. He does like a completely, Howard Stern based podcast or whatever. He had said he wanted to pop
cool.
on real quick. So,
awesome.
Yeah. So, another random thing. Did you see this? And I know you're not a huge football fan, and I'm really not even a college football fan. But did you see this Manti Te'o situation?
I did. It was like, it's been like all over the news.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
About his like fake girlfriend.
Yeah, it goes in so many directions. And I mean, I have, my theory, which is most people's theory, I think. But what it is, it started out where, he was a Heisman Trophy runner up. And like throughout the season, he's obviously been one of the best players in college, and he was on Notre Dame. So he was getting a lot of press just for doing what he was doing on the field. People were talking about him, and then all of a sudden he started up this buzz. Well, his grandmother died. I think it was his grandmother. And then, like, later that week he said that his girlfriend died of leukemia or something. And, they were giving him all this credit. Oh, my God, like, how are you still playing? And, like, that's when, the interviews came and he started elaborating. We were talking all the time. We went out here. I went to go see her. Started an online romance and all this. And then it turned into, like, they were actually talking on the phone and seeing each other and that type of thing. But it was long distance, so there wasn't, like, she was coming to games or anything. So that was, like, the story. And then I guess some reporter went a little deeper and found out, she didn't exist. And what it turned into from there is now the story's spun where another player supposedly played this whole ruse on him is his story. And the other player created a fake account and started pretty much playing this game with him online where he was this girl. And when it came to the death, sent him something like, I'm more or less going to check out, but listen, before I leave or, whatever, obviously if someone knows they're going to die, they're going to tell you something. And pretty much saying, like, I'd rather you play in the game than come to my funeral. I want you to go out there and play the game for me and all this. And this is the story he's pitching. Like, why didn't you even go to the type of thing? And, so now this other dude, and I mean, he named him and everything. So now this other guy's dragged into it. And I really don't know where it's going to go from here. But, on the surface, I just think the guy's completely lying. Because he also had said, during this time that he saw her.
Right.
So that part's the first lie. And then from there, I don't know who this other guy is or whatnot. But this is crazy.
I heard that too, and then they were saying like they felt bad for him, that he was part of like, I guess it was like, I don't know if you ever saw like the show Catfish. It was like a catfish hoax and like all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Playing a trick on him. But like, I want to say, I don't know if it's true, but I read something earlier that he admitted that he lied about it. I don't know if that just came in like recently today or that was like a fake report, but I did see something that he like admitted to lying. I don't know if he admitted to lying about the whole thing or just certain parts of it or whatever, but obviously he's lying, like you said, about some of it, because he said that he's like seen this girl, and obviously this girl doesn't exist, so he's lying about some of it. But I want to say that he might have admitted it, but that's just like, why? Like, why? Why do you feel the need to do that? Like, what is his reasoning behind that? I don't understand.
Right. And, last I heard, and more might have come out since then, because I don't really research too much, like, tonight. I, you know, pretty much worked, came home, did whatever, and then, but, I think he admitted to, like, pretty much what he, what you can't back out of, the part, like, you know, I met up with her, that type of thing.
Right.
I think he pretty much said, like, you know, I just wanted to, you know, it was a long-term relationship, and I didn't want to sound like I never met her. He kind of like backed out of that part of it, but that's like the most that I had heard. Again, it could have went further since then, but that's my thing. What's the motivation? Like,
I don't know. Maybe he just wanted it to be like super baby face and like be like, oh yeah, look at me. Like, my grandma died, my girlfriend died, and I'm still like playing football. I don't know, like, I don't understand it. Like, those people like freak me out. Like, why? Like, I watch that show Catfish, and I get like skeeved out by some of those people when they like admit that like they made up these fake accounts and they're not really who they are. And there was like an episode mm-hmm. where like this girl was like 12 or 13 different people, and it's like, why do these people, like, why do they do that? Like, why, what is, like you said, like, what is his motive or reason for, like, lying about having a girlfriend? It's not like he probably couldn't get a real girlfriend, because there's probably so many girls that are just going to, like, throw themselves at him just for the simple
yeah.
fact that he's a Notre Dame football player, you know what I'm saying? So, like...
Oh, yeah, Notre Dame senior in college. And if he was a Heisman running up, you're talking about one of the best football players in all of college sports. I'm pretty sure a long-term girlfriend is not the norm for that type of guy.
Right.
Or,
so,
like, long distance, I should say. Or long-term, honestly, because...
Right.
Being you're in college, I'm sure that's not, like, the most, you know, faithful type of dude to be with.
That's just crazy. Like, if I don't understand. Okay, if you want to do like the whole online dating gimmick, like, that's cool. Like, that's, if that's your thing, like, I'm not going to judge or whatever, but like, if you're talking to somebody online and then, you know, you say, hey, like, let's meet up, or with all the technology, you can FaceTime people, you can webcam with people, Skype,
mm-hmm.
all that shit. Like, if they're giving you excuse after excuse why they can't, like, talk to you or meet up with you, obviously, like, something is not right. So, like, why even,
yeah.
like, pursue it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand it. I really don't.
Yeah, me neither. And my other thing now is, this guy now goes into the NFL draft, and, you know, they've asked the question, is it going to affect it? I definitely think it's going to, because these teams are going to put up a lot of money. I mean, you're going to go in the first round, and millions of dollars are going to be put on your name, you know, if someone chooses you within that first round. And, you know, obviously, Heisman Trophy runner-up, that's a first-round pick.
Right.
I don't know if I trust waging my future on a guy that's faking a girlfriend in college and death, and I don't know.
Right. And he's like, I feel like he's like completely, like, I don't want to say ruined his reputation, but like, like you said, it's obviously 100% affected it, like, because people are just going to hear his name and be like, oh, that's the guy that just had a fake girlfriend or pretended
mm-hmm.
or lied or whatever. Like, that's probably going to overshadow anything that he's going to be doing, I would say at least for the next year, you know, because it's so fresh in everybody's mind. So, like,
sure,
it's going to take a lot for people to forget about something like that, because obviously, like, it was, like, a big deal, and the media has, like, blown it up and everything. So, like, I don't know. It's definitely going to affect him. Like, do I feel bad for him, though? No, I really don't, because you have all this stuff going for you. Like, why be so stupid, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it just, I mean, some say, too, that, like, maybe it was something he started out as a small line, then it got out of control, and he just couldn't back out of it. But again, I mean, you're at the top of your game, you know, on the field, and millions of dollars are staring you in the face, and to start this whole thing to begin with, to even just push the envelope and try to get over it's weird, and I wouldn't invest my money in that guy if I was a football team.
Yeah, because you don't, I mean, obviously you don't know, like, what he's going to do in the future, you know, like, how is this affecting him, like, emotionally, like, this could be affecting how he plays football, like, you don't know.
We'll
have to see.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the craziest things I've seen, the sports-wise lately. You know, it is pasted all over the news, like you said, and I'm not a college football fan, so got me to pay attention. Maybe not even
to
the game.
Yeah, I, like you obviously know, like, I don't really, like, follow football, so obviously I know nothing about college football. I had no idea who this dude was. And then, like, I only know him because of this scandal. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know him for all his accomplishments and all the good stuff he does. I know because he had a fake online girlfriend that had leukemia. Like, sadly, like, that's how a lot of people know him. So it's going to take a lot for people to, like, forget about that, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I guess, you know. Nothing more to be said about that. It's just a crazy, crazy situation. They're just going to haunt him, so what can you do? Randomly, did you see Jupiter the other night?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Someone posted that online, and they took a picture, and it was just like, yeah, you see that spot next to the moon? That's Jupiter. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. So it was like 1 in the morning, and I ran outside, and there it was. It was like this bright-ass, just like a big-ass star next to the moon. It was Jupiter.
Damn.
So then I
and
posted,
it was just
like,
there,
yeah,
randomly?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, again, another thing I don't follow. I guess that was about to happen or something, where it was going to be in that spot at that day. But, you know, I don't follow that. So then I posted something about it. Next thing you know, Robbie Marino is posting a picture that he's hanging out his window taking a picture. He's like, Jupiter, baby, with J. Cool. I still haven't even posted the picture off my camera yet because I'm lazy, but yeah, it was pretty cool. I was just like, wow, I saw Jupiter.
That is pretty cool. Yeah, I didn't see that. So it's probably like one of those things that happens like once every like 8,000 years. Like I'll go look it up and it'll be like, oh yeah, next time it's going to happen is like 2050 or something like that.
Yeah, I was tired too. And that's the first thing that went through my mind is like, I don't know, like, if I'll even notice someone else posting about it again, if it happens again. I don't know if it's never going to happen again. I was like, I just got to go outside. And
yeah, that's kind of cool.
That was when we were getting a little bit of, like, a dusting of snow over here, too. And it had stopped for long enough for me to, like, point a camera at the air. So I was like, all right, that's cool. But, yeah, it was completely random. I never see planets. I forget I'd bring it up.
Yeah, I mean, I see stars and stuff like that, but I don't really know much about planets either.
Yeah, I couldn't tell one from the next. I don't know. Did you see the Wrestle Kingdom show at all, or parts of it, or any of that? Wrestle Kingdom 7 from Japan?
No, I haven't, but I know a lot of people talking about it, so you're going to have to, like, fill me in, because I haven't seen it, so I don't really know much about it.
It's a really stacked card. I only saw so much of it. I mean, the one thing that I could definitely say I saw in depth was the low-key match. It was low-key Prince Devitt and Kota Ibushi. It was a three-way.
Mm-hmm.
And first off, Loki and the picture surfaced, you know, on the internet really quick because the whole show was in January, and he wrestled the match in a suit.
Right.
Like a suit.
I did see that picture. Okay, so that was from the Wrestle Kingdom show or whatever. Okay, yeah
Wrestle Kingdom
that.
7. And I saw the picture, and I'm like, yeah, you know, maybe entrance gear, and he had the two handguns, and they had him like an assassin, and I'm like, oh, wow, that's pretty impressive looking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right, then. So then I watched the match, and he wrestled the whole match in a suit.
Huh.
And, I mean, the three of those guys in a match, you figure, I mean, you really can't go too far wrong, and nah, it was a really, really good match. I liked it a lot.
Oh, that's interesting. I guess he was, like, doing a Hitman gimmick. Like, is that, like, a new gimmick for him? Or was that just, like, some special thing he did for the show?
I guess. I saw him, you know, I saw him surface again, you know, when he did the Dragon Gate stuff and, you know, evolve. And then he disappeared off to Japan, and I really didn't keep up or know what he was doing over there. And then once that picture popped up, I'm like, where the hell is that? And then I saw people posting about Wrestle Kingdom, so I went and I got that and watched the match. And yeah, I was like, it looks fluent enough where it doesn't seem like a one-time thing, but it might have popped up before that. Maybe it's the start of it, or I don't know. But I was impressed by the whole match. The whole look was really, really cool because look, he's gone a few different directions, but they're pretty much, you know, standard look gear and.
Mm-hmm.
Loki's Loki. You know, pretty much know what to expect out of him. But
right.
Yeah, it was just insane match, and the look was really cool on top of it.
So how did you watch this show? You have to like order it or?
No. Online.
I
acquired it online.
did you steal it online?
I don't. You know. Deal.
Okay, say no more. That's cool.
I could have borrowed it. Someone could have shared it with me.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to try to get somebody to share it with me because I'm interested to see that, obviously.
Yeah, you should definitely get someone to share it with you because that is pretty impressive. What else do I got? I do want to talk about the WWE stuff, but I think before I go into that, I'll take a break. Did you hear the John Cena prank call?
I did not hear the John Cena prank call.
Oh, you have to hear that. Okay, what it was this radio station, they have like a morning radio something or other, and they do, I guess, prank calls. Well, they had a husband who got in trouble with his wife because he ordered a WWE pay-per-view. She walked into the room and said, turn this off. I want to watch my shows. And he's like, I can't. This is a pay-per-view. And she started freaking out that he actually paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
So he called this morning radio show and put them up to pranking his wife. And this was the result of it. I thought it was absolutely hilarious. I played it a couple weeks back. But it's pretty long because they keep calling her back. But check it out. And then after that, we'll get into the WWE stuff.
Okay, cool. Hello?
I have just one question for you. Are you ready?
Am I ready for what? Who is this?
Are you ready for this Sunday night when WWE Champ John Cena defends his title in the WWE Super Slam? Right now you can order this awesome pay-per-view event for just $59.99.
I'm sorry, no, there is not any chance in hell that we're ever going to have wrestling in this house again, but thank you, but no. Have a good day. Hello?
And goodbye to anyone standing in John Cena's way when he takes on six men in a Steel King Chutes and Ladders match at WWE Super Slam. Order now and save $10 with a low, low price of just $49.99.
Sir, you guys just called me, and as I mentioned before, we're not ordering this, so please stop calling my house. Thank you and goodbye. Hello?
Hi, can I speak to Champ?
Who?
Champ? Is Champ there?
Who is Champ?
That question will be answered this Sunday night! By the best of belt!
Listen,
WWE
hey!
WWE Superstar!
Hey, sir!
Taking on Sheamus!
Please quit calling my house!
The Undertaker!
Quit calling me!
CM Punk! And even Triple H and The Big Show in a spit-swapping makeout match!
Holy
WWE Superstar!
Listen! Hello? Hello? Can you stop screaming in your little sirens and whatever that is? Can you knock it off for 5 seconds? Not interested. Stop calling my fucking house. Hello?
I'm watching you.
Excuse me?
That's exactly what The Undertaker told John Cena! But will he be able to take the belt from the mightiest champion in WWE history at this weekend's WWE Superstar?
For the love of all that is stop calling my house
John
before
Cena.
I get your number. I will track you down and absolutely tear you to pieces. Do you understand me? I know who you are. John Cena, crazy motherfucker. No wrestling, no super motherfucking slam is happening in this house. I swear to Jesus, if this is those wrestling f***s again.
Okay, good morning. Hi, I'm just calling this morning to ask if you're a supporter of the United States military.
Oh, my God, I apologize. We've been getting calls all morning. I apologize, and yes.
Fantastic.
Yes, I am.
Great. Are you a supporter of the Marine Corps?
Yes, absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
Great, because a former decorated member of the United States Marine Corps needs your support.
And his name is John Cena! He's gonna get in the ring and put boots down!
You?
This
are
weekend.
You kidding me right now?
WWE.
Are you kidding me right now? I can't even handle this. I cannot handle this.
A low price of only $39.99.
I can't believe you're still calling me. I'm about to lose my. I swear I'm about to call the police.
Hello. You have a collect call from
John Cena.
Will you accept the charges?
Oh, f*** your mother. Listen, stop calling. Is listening not your strong suit? Because you're really sure as f*** is, but you're not hearing me. Shut your f***ing beaten down brain from SummerSlam and listen. I am not. I don't care if they're $59, $49, $39, or 39 f***ing cents. I don't want it. It won't happen. It's not coming on my TV again. It won't be allowed in this house. You understand me? Never again will there be wrestling here in this house. And going through closets and taking out t-shirts and burning them and calling the police and telling you that you're harassing me. Stop it now. And I am calling the police. Good luck to you. Have a nice day. F*** yourself.
Then they pretty much called her back and told her it was all a joke.
Oh my God. That was insane.
She got pretty fired up. I thought that was awesome.
That is pretty funny.
When they called her with the military one after the first couple of calls, that was the funniest.
Yeah, I was over here, like, cracking up. I was like, why would you keep answering the phone? But that was pretty funny.
Yeah, good stuff. So anyway, the lead-in, you know, the go-home Raw to the pay-per-view, watched they started off, they did the whole, Heyman and Vicky segment, which I kind of fast-forward through because they just recapped what happened last week. And
right.
So, but the first match, they were doing the Beat the Clock Challenge, which I don't know. I cannot put this Raw over. I just cannot. they started off with Orton versus Antonio Cesaro, and Beat the Clock Challenge, you're supposed to win the match faster than anybody else in this thing in order to get a good spot in the Rumble. So why do they start the match and have Claudio working a headlock into Orton working a headlock and 11 minutes and 36 seconds later, he pulls an RKO out of nowhere, as they say, and Orton wins.
Yeah, I don't know. I was watching Raw, like, on and off, too, and, like, I couldn't get into it. As much as I love Claudio and Tony Cesaro, whatever, I'm just, like, so over Randy Orton, and every time he's on the screen, I just want to, like, change the channel, or I get distracted because I'm just so bored with him at this point. So
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why, like you said, they dragged it and we're doing headlocks and all this other crap. But yeah, I mean, I guess it is what it is. But I wasn't really into it. I wasn't into the whole show either. So I agree with you.
Yeah. So after this match where there were a lot of headlocks worked and really didn't seem to be rushing anything, 11 minutes and 36 seconds, which I don't know how many squash matches the two of these guys have had, you know, in their own right, I mean, quite a few. So then we follow that with, this is not a beat-the-clock match. The Big Show squashes Zack Ryder.
yeah.
To follow an 11-minute, 30-seconds hurry-up-and-win match, he squashes Zack Ryder.
I don't know. Why? What was the point of that? Like, I think we touched on this last time. Like, I don't understand what they're doing with Big Show. Like, what direction are they putting him in? Like, what was the reason for that? Just to push him as a monster again? I don't know.
I'm guessing, you know, from what I heard, they supposedly had even took the belt off of him and gave it to Del Rio because he was in contract negotiations, and they thought, well, if it goes negatively, we don't want him to be holding our belt and figure out what to do with it at the time. So from what I heard, that's what they were doing. And, I mean, if that's the case, well, they had to kind of put him on hold until maybe they figured it out now, and they got to try to build him up before this pay-per-view. But, I mean, it's not like Zack Ryder was on some kind of roll that he was going to, you know, give him some kind of rub. I mean,
Did anybody honestly think that Zack Ryder was going to beat Big Show? Like,
No.
Exactly. So it was pretty much a waste, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. And then follow that with, again, the theme of the show is beat the clock. Then Ryback squashes Slater in a not a beat the clock match. so you start out where they're supposed to beat the clock, and then you immediately put two squash matches after it that aren't beat the clock matches.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either.
Very, very strange. And Ryback's in the Royal Rumble, but he doesn't need to do that.
Well, I don't know. See, I'm just so confused. Like, I don't know what they're doing. Like you said, like, they're having, like, this beat-the-clock match, and then they have two squash matches, and, like, doesn't really make any sense. Like, what was it doing, just putting, like, the big guys over, like, Ryback doesn't really need that. Like, they've obviously pushed him to the point where, I mean, he could be, like, I mean, you know, he has been a main event person, and I think they still look at him like that. So what's the point of that? Like, he doesn't have, like, a match. Does he have a match at Royal Rumble besides being in the Rumble?
No, just in the Rumble.
So he went from, like, wrestling Punk for the title to just, like, not doing anything.
Yeah, more or less. But they'll push him towards the end of the Rumble. He'll definitely be around for a while, I think.
I guess because they're just focusing so much on, like, this Rock thing that, like, I guess they're just trying to keep him so people don't forget about him. Because, obviously, the Rock's not going to be there, like, for the long term. So, maybe that's why, but I don't know.
Yeah. So, then following that, some more this-doesn't-make-sense type stuff. Vicky has the cops blocking the Rock from coming into the building.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Rock gets into this whole discussion with them, and he's, like, now cutting a promo to the cops. Like, that's going to make a difference. and you know, telling him what he smells and that he's finally here and all of this stuff. And at some point, the one cop kind of breaks down to him, like, man, you know, I love you, man. And, like, you know, I have tickets. Like, I actually have a ticket. Like, hold on. Why does the cop have a ticket to the show? The cop just randomly has a ticket to the show. And he's also working security on the show. So
right. They're
going to keep him out, but this cop also has a ticket. They throw that in there. And then Vicky threatens to suspend the cops. And he's like, I'll suspend all of you. I'm like, from what, being cops? Like, oh my God. They really, I don't know if there was a contest, like, you book the show, fans, like, the, you know, the next person to buy a John Cena shirt books the next Raw. I don't know if there was one of those contests, because I didn't understand this. The whole show, it was like,
I didn't understand that either. Like, I did see the cop where he was like, oh, my wife and kid is here, and they're watching the show right now, and I have a ticket. So it's like you said, like, then, but why? Why do you have a ticket? Like, you're obviously, like, doing security for the show.
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense, but I know you're obviously going to get to the point where, like, The Rock ended up, like, getting the ticket and walking in.
Oh.
So.
Oh, yeah, that's a couple of matches later that they drop that bombshell.
Oh, God.
Then they have Punk come in there and cut a promo. I thought he cut an awesome promo.
Mm-hmm.
No surprise. I mean, this is just kind of what he does. And, you know, I don't know. He just has a way of doing things. When he gets on the mic, he definitely, you know, breaks everything down, where the whole, you know, the crowd is kind of behind them, but kind of like, wow, he's still being a dick. He doesn't like us at all. But, like, you know, and indie fans are always on top of it. Like, wow, that's the best thing ever. So.
Right. Of course. There's always, like, the smart marks. But, I mean, I think it's deserving. Like, like you said, he always cuts good promos. He just makes everything sound believable. Like, what he's saying, like, he believes it. So everybody else is going to believe it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was really good promo he cut. Then they went into another Beat the Clock match, and this was Ziggler and Miz. And, you know, they beat the 11-minute and 30-second speed fest that was the early match, and it was 10 minutes and 56 seconds, you know, Ziggler
right.
having help and all that stuff. It wasn't a bad match. Miz is, I mean, he's really come into his own as far as being, like, a credible wrestler, in my opinion, because I hated him on every angle of, you know, his gimmick, his look, his wrestling, everything when he first came out. And over time, he, you know, the cocky dick heel, like, he really got over with that. And then on top of that, he's become a good wrestler, I think.
Right.
And,
I mean, I think we touched on this the last time I was on the show, that, like, I just don't like him as a face. Like, I can't get behind him as a face. I liked him when he was a heel. Obviously, like, he's gotten a lot better with, like, the wrestling
right.
and all that stuff. But, like, I don't know. Like, I cannot stand him as a face. I just hate him. I hate him as a face. I'd rather him be heel.
Yeah. I agree with that. But I don't know. Like, I also don't see Ziggler as a heel. So it's hard for me to see both sides of those things. I got to just take the match for what it is. You know, I don't,
mm-hmm.
you know, Ziggler plays the arrogant way, but I mean, he's selling like a monster. Like he works like a face. So.
Right. And the crowd is getting more and more behind him. You could hear at every show, there's like a Ziggler chants and people are popping for him. So like, he's officially not, I guess, a face, but he is, like, the crowd still likes him regardless, so.
Yeah. Yeah, but the match, you know, it worked for what it was. You know, they had some pretty good back and forth exchanges, and, you know, they flowed pretty well in the ring and everything, but, yeah, so like I said, they beat it out with, you know, 10 minutes and 56 seconds. Then they went on to, Daniel Bryan and Kane having, like, a graduation ceremony from anger management.
Uh-huh.
And this, oh, my God.
Daniel Bryan's hair was ridiculous. I mean, that's the first
thing. It was thing very slicked back. I saw that.
Yeah. And then they just got into this hug fest where they turned the entire crowd homosexual.
So you didn't like it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'd probably go with that. A face team, even though they're a comedic face team, to get to the point where they're shouting at people in the crowd, hug each other. Like, you can't do that. I can't do it. This is wrestling. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I mean, there's dudes hugging dudes. There's couples that are together. Now they're getting all close. Like, the whole thing, just, I was like, this can't get any gayer. This just can't. Like, the wedding angle on TNA.
So you didn't like it because you thought it was too homosexual, or you just didn't like the segment for just because it wasn't wrestling? Like, which one was it?
A little of both. But, I mean, like, the TNA wedding angle was like a death match compared to this segment. Just hug each other. Everyone hug each other. You over there, hug them. Just more hugging. We want hugging for the next, like, 10 minutes of this wrestling show. We want hugging in the crowd. It was awkward.
Yeah,
so
it
awkward.
It was kind of weird. It was weird, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I enjoyed it. I thought it was kind of funny. Like, I like the weird doctor, whatever his name is.
Did you tweet about it?
I didn't tweet about it. I don't think I tweeted about it, but I like that doctor guy. Like, I think he's like a pretty good actor or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was kind of funny. Like, obviously, like, Kane went from being like this big scary dude to like this comedy guy, but like, that's kind of like, but I mean, what else is he going to do? He's been there forever. Like, maybe it's like relieving to him that like now he can just do like skits and hardly ever really wrestle and stuff like that. But like I thought it was funny. Like I think like King and like Michael Cole were like making like these weird comments, and that was kind of weird. But it was funny just to see like just the control that like they had, that they could just like point to random people in the crowd and they were like hug each other, and they had just like men hugging other men and like all these strangers hugging each other. Like, I don't know. I thought it was kind of funny, but
I mean, I love the whole Kane Daniel Bryan thing. I really do. Like, I have nothing against Kane being a comedy, because he was another one of those guys that I was like, all right, hang it up. We're all done with you on the TV. Like, your music hits, you choke slam someone and you leave and they die.
Right.
And they don't get up until the commercial hits and like, okay, we're done. And Daniel Bryan really just revitalized his career. I mean, bought him at least a couple more years. And,
yeah, no, I agree.
I, as of last year, I was like, you know, instead of Triple H Undertaker again, I was like, do Kane versus Undertaker and both retire after the match. Do like a casket match or Inferno match, and then have Paul Bearer just like, you know, pyro the ring or something afterwards and go out like that. That'd be fine with me, but
yeah.
And they started this, you know.
Maybe, yeah, I guess maybe he wants to have one more run, or like you said, he might have a couple more years in him if he keeps doing this comedy thing. But how long is it going to last? Like, I mean, with WWE, you never know. Either sometimes they drag out things way too long, or they cut things, like, way too short, and it's like, oh, I really wanted to see that, and then they just, like, end it quickly and, like, start something else. So, like, you never know. I guess we'll have to see. I mean, that would be a good idea for them both to just retire. And, like, you know, they're probably not going to do that, so.
No. But I figured, you know, the whole Brothers of Destruction thing. Go ahead, you know, put out whatever else you got out there, whether it's a Hell in a Cell or Inferno match or a casket match. It would work either one of them as, like, their last go, and then just, you know, put it all on the line, put over whoever, and then, you know, you both just don't come back or whatever, and Paul Bearer does some
deal
stuff
where
he buries
both
of them. But yeah, there you go. And then they get married next year.
Yeah,
they're
in
Aces and Eights.
Brooke Hogan again.
Yeah, he'll be in Aces and Eights, and he'll bring back the American Badass gimmick.
Oh God, I hate I hated that gimmick. I don't care what anybody says. I will fight with anybody. I've gotten into multiple arguments with people when they're like, oh, I love the American Badass. No, screw that shit. I thought it was stupid. He was like the dead man and coming back from the dead, and he was like cool as hell, like chokeslamming everybody, and he had a cool-ass entrance. And
so you're telling me it's not cool when he comes out to Limp Bizkit?
No, it's not fucking stupid. I hate
cool.
when he came out on the motorcycle. I hated it. And, like, I know so many people that loved it, and I'm just like, I mean, okay, I'm not going to get on you, Jay, if you liked it, but I...
No, I didn't. You can disagree with me all you like, too,
awful.
But no, I do not like that. I do not like that.
It was so... I hated it. I couldn't... Oh, it makes me so mad. Like, I'm so riled up right now. And just talk about it. It's just like, I don't want to think about it. It's just like when the Brooklyn Brawler was, like, the Boston Brawler for, like, that one night. Like, now they try to pretend like that didn't happen. But, like, I remember
now I know what music
happened.
To get for next week.
You're going to put on, like, American Badass, and I'm just going to, like, flip my table over. You're just going to get, like, you know how to, like, brawl up Chrissy Rivera and just put on and just talk about the American Badass gimmick. Like, I can't.
I'll do that right before Greg comes on, get you all fired up.
Yeah, everyone know how to piss me off. There's a couple of things you could talk about. One of them is talking about Undertaker as American Badass.
Fantastic. I'll keep that in mind.
Awful.
So then the next match came up, and it wasn't the best match in the world, but I got to stick to my initial statement and saying I love Caitlyn. I think she's good. A lot of people at this point are really, really, like, going all out, calling her chubby and all of this shit. Like, this is the majority of the stuff that I hear about Caitlyn is just she's chubby and she's fat and this and that. And I think that's retarded. I think her arms are huge, not fat.
Right.
They're huge. And I think she's, you know, young, but I think she's a good power wrestler for a woman. And on top of that, Alicia Fox on the other side of the ring has become a whole lot better than what she was. So, but, I mean, that's just...
Yeah, it wasn't like Caitlyn like a bodybuilder or fitness model or something? Like, I thought I heard something that she, like, was like something like that before she was in WWE. So, like, she has that, like, physique where she's, like, has, like, broad shoulders and...
Mm-hmm.
She's obviously not, like, 92 pounds Maurice figure, but, like,
right.
I don't think she's fat.
Yeah, me neither. I don't know. But, you know, and then you get rid of Beth's gone, and we had talked about this last time, and since then, Eve decided that I don't want to do wrestling anymore, and, you know, I'm just going to focus on other stuff, and then she's out of there, and she was the latest thing that they were pushing to the sky. So I got to bring up the same question I asked you last time. Where is the Divas division and where is it going? Because you got rid of Kelly Kelly. She was what they were pushing. I never liked her, but she was like their flagship. Gone.
Right.
They were pushing the Bellas. Gone. Beth Phoenix. Gone. Eve. Gone. You know, like you get to the point where you look around, it's like there's pretty much like Tamina and Caitlyn and Alicia Fox and then, like, what, one of the Funkettes? Or, like, what is the division?
I don't know. Like, obviously, like, something is, like, going down, like, or going on behind the scenes that, like, obviously we're not seeing. There's so many, like, girls that are obviously not happy. They're leaving or asking for their releases. It's not that they're necessarily getting fired. So, obviously, I mean, like, maybe WWE doesn't know what they want to do with them, and they're just, like, frustrated, like, all right, well, you don't know what you want to do with me, like, I don't want to be here, because, I mean, like, obviously something has to be going on, like, what is the reason for all these, like, top girls to be leaving? So,
well,
I don't know what they're doing.
There was the initial rumor, you know, that I had said that, when Triple H took over, that one of his big things was he was going to focus on tag division more. He was going to bring in a lot more new guys, and he was going to kill the Divas division completely. Like,
right.
Just get rid of it. And I don't know, like, as time goes on, at first you're like, nah, why would they get rid of the whole thing? That, you know, why would they do that? now you look at it and really, I mean, I can't see that where that wouldn't happen. I mean, you'd have to bring in another at least 5 or 8 women just to fill the void of what they've got rid of.
Right. But like you said, like we talked about last time, like why would you get rid of the Divas division? As much as like us, like being wrestling fans or whatever, and knowing that women's wrestling is not, it's not as good as it probably could be, but like for WWE, that's like a big money maker for them, like having like, you know, like really pretty girls or whatever, or having, you know, costume matches or bra and panties matches or whatever, like, like a lot of the fans want to see that, like not necessarily the smart marks, but like, you know, just like the whatever 18 to 30 year old guys that just watch WWE or TNA, like obviously like they want to see women, they want to, and there is even like, you know, I know a lot of fans that watch indie wrestling and they're indie wrestling women's wrestling marks, you know, and they love women's wrestling, so like it's a big money maker. So I don't know why they would try to eliminate that, because I mean there still is a demand for it, but I mean I don't know, obviously like I guess Triple H has something bigger plans, like you said, with the tag division and everything, and maybe it'll be a small part, but obviously something is, things are changing, because like you said, like Beth Phoenix left and now Eve left, and she wasn't the best, but she wasn't the worst, and she was like one of their top divas, and she decided to leave. So I mean, like, who knows? I don't think there's gonna be much of a women's division in the next 6 months, sadly. So
no, I mean, yeah, she's got the belt now, Caitlin, but I mean, who does she even defend against if they even give her a match? Because nothing's signed as far as a match for Royal Rumble yet, for, you know, a women's match. But if so, who does she even defend against? I mean, they're really not even pushing anybody. I think Layla's still under contract. Maybe Layla. I don't know.
Yeah, well, they did do a promo. I don't know if it was this Monday or like prior to that, where she was like doing some backstage promo and Layla was there, and then like Layla was like holding the title or something, like looking at it and like really didn't want to give it back to Caitlyn, and then she like eventually gave it back, so it looked like maybe they're gonna do like a Caitlyn Layla feud. I don't know, but those are really like the only two once you think about it. Like what other, like I honestly can't really think of any other girls off the top of my head, like Alicia Fox. I guess she wrestled Oksana or whatever, but she's
Tamina.
She's awful. Yeah, poor Tamina, who, they, like, we talked about this last time, they could push her as, like, an awesome Kong, like, just killing girls and, like, being women's champion, and she's so good. She leaps and bounds about almost about anybody else there, but because she doesn't fit the, like, model profile, like, they just kind of, like, push her to the side and put her in some lumberjill matches. But I mean, who else is there?
I saw a picture of her recently too, that like they got her hair all straightened and stuff now, so I don't know if they're trying to like pretty her up to make it appeasable to them or what, but because I kind of like at first glance I was like, wait, oh shit, that's Tamina, like, oh, like she had a completely like different look, like they just kind of like seamlessly like repackaged her. It's just like, all right, now here's her again, but looking different.
That's got to be such a self-esteem killer too, you know, like,
oh,
it's like, oh, by the way, like you kind of look like a dude. We're just going to have to like straighten your hair and you got to like drop weight and all this other stuff. Like, no girl really wants to hear that. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I don't know. Like, I really think they're dropping the ball on her. They could just push her as like a monster, and they just because she doesn't look like what they want her to look like, they're just kind of just like shooing her away. So I wouldn't be surprised if she left too, you know?
Yeah. And then speaking of self-esteem killer, another girl that's still under the contract, Natalia's never recovered from the fart gimmick they stuck on her for whatever reason.
Oh. And isn't she, like, managing Great Khali or something?
I think. I don't know. I try to look away whenever Khali's on the TV, so she might be.
she like comes out with him and like he like attempts to dance without like tipping over like a fucking tree, and she's like
he's
next
the most
to
awkward
him.
Human ever.
Oh my god, he's like he's like a tree, like he's like huge. He can't move, and it just poor Natalia. Like she just looks like she hates her job. Like she's like smiling and stuff, but like you know that she's like, what the fuck am I doing? You know?
Yeah.
I feel bad. I guess I don't know.
Yeah. I don't get it. There's definitely very, very limited females there. But, you know, what can you do? Writing's definitely becoming very clear on the wall, though. So, I mean, you could do, I don't know if you could pull, like, they were maybe 6 months ago or so, they were just doing random, like, 8-woman tag matches. I don't think you could put one of those together right now.
Probably not, and, like, as much as I hate to say it, like, there was a point where, like, TNA's women's division was, like, way better than WWE's. Like, they have, like,
well,
Mickie James and, like, yeah, like, they had, like, all these girls that were, like, pretty decent. And when Angelina Love was there and Madison Rayne and Gail Kim, like, all, like, pretty decent women's workers, you know? Like, they're leaps and bounds above WWE's women's division, in my opinion.
Yeah. They have to be now. They just have to be. I don't even know what they're doing over there, but they just have to be because there's like 5 women on the WWE. So then they go from that to, The Rock's music hits because that's what happens when you buy a ticket to the WWE. You're able to get your music to hit and walk down the entrance and then get mic time. So that's what happened next. Like, you're banned from the building. But if you get in, I don't care if you buy a ticket or you parachute in if there's an open dome on the stadium, your music will hit, and then you can cut a promo. And I don't get it. I don't understand. They've started to loosen up the whole PG realm, but they're still booking to children as far as the intelligence goes.
Right. I don't know. I felt the same type of way. Like, obviously, like, the crowd popped when he came out, but it was like he was holding the ticket, and it was like, oh, okay. So, like, you basically, like, Kanye West your way onto Raw. And, like, it's okay. Like, nobody cares. Like, you bought a ticket so you can walk down the ramps. Like, so any fan who just buys a ticket, I mean, is that you're saying, like, they can just walk on? I mean, obviously we know that's not the case, but
right.
It kind of just like you said, it didn't make much sense how he got there. I mean, maybe if they just would have had him, like, sitting, if he would have, like, took the ticket and then, like, sat in the crowd or, like, sat in the front row or something.
Right, that's the normal, well, I got a ticket, like, a fan-type gimmick, you know? How can you even get in through the entryway if you had a ticket? Like, that doesn't even seem like where you would come from.
I don't know. I guess he got it from the security guy that was his ticket or something. I don't know. It was, like,
the cop,
weird,
but then the cop said,
all right,
you go around front and then sneak back in through the back and then go out the entrance like you could have did without a ticket. Like, oh my god, it just baffled me. I'm like, oh, here he goes with his entrance music. That's what happens.
It's not even like he came
running
out or just walking out. He just, you know, he had to get his entrance. Maybe that's like part of his, like, his contract. It's like, okay, I'll do like 5 dates, and I have to have my entrance music play every time I come out.
Maybe. Like, I hate run-ins with entrance music, too, because they're supposed to be unexpected. So anytime when a guy's running in and his music hits, it's like, oh, the sound guy's in on this? Is that what's going on? No one knew but you and the sound guy?
He runs by the sound guy before he runs through the entrance. Don't you know, like, the sound
yeah,
guy...
he does a run-in on the
gorilla.
Soundboard. Yeah. That makes sense.
Total
that's
sense.
Awesome. Yep. So then they have the Sheamus and I guess what was there, just the three beat the clock matches, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just the three. That Sheamus, he was going at it with Wade Barrett. It was a pretty good match. He wound up, AJ got in front of him and distracted him, and Wade Barrett was able to take advantage of it, and by the time he turned around to get the win, the clock had expired, and yeah, so he got screwed out of it by AJ, so then Dolph wins the beat the clock challenge.
Right, so he gets to pick his spot in Royal Rumble, right? Is that what that was for?
Well, yeah, but then Vicky ended up telling him, well, you can pick a spot, but it's out of either number one or number two, so.
Yeah, it's kind of like Vince Russo, like, booked this episode of Raw. Like, it was just like, swerve, swerve.
Yeah.
I remember she was like, book, you can have spot number one or number two or something like that. So, like, it was just weird. I like the match, though. The match, like you said, Wade and Sheamus, I thought that the match was really good. I absolutely love Wade Barrett every time I see him. And I just think he gets better and better with every match that he gets. I can't say one bad thing about Wade Barrett.
I noticed by your Twitter during Raw. you so have to tweet about Wade Barrett when he comes on.
Every time. And I'm not just saying that because I'm kind of in love with him a little bit. I think he's a good wrecker.
Blink, blink. Nah, I like Wade Barrett. But, yeah, I mean, Sheamus got his leg up there for the bro kick. I mean, he kind of left his feet. It wasn't even like your average bro kick because Wade's so tall. He really had to, like, air out for it. It was pretty pretty severe. But, yeah, good back-and-forth match. You know, pretty hard-hitting and stuff for, you know, WWE standards for the most part. And I liked the match, and, you know, they went that angle, but, I mean, he screwed him out of a one or two spot. So, again, it kind of devalues everything you did all night when you do that type of thing. But, I mean, I know, you know, Vicky's going to play a heel and she's going to do her thing. But it's like, it's also she's playing a heel against a heel, and, like, you get this, like, CM Punk and Dolph Ziggler, and they're both heels, but they're kind of cutting promos again. I don't know, like,
I mean, I'm kind of tired of Vicky. Like, I don't know, like, she's just on the show a lot, and I'm not saying that she's awful, but I don't know, I'm just getting, like, every time I see her, I'm just like, oh, here we go again, or whatever, you know. And it's just like, this episode, this was, like, the last Raw before Royal Rumble, and I just thought, like, it wasn't the best build-up for Royal Rumble, which is, like, my favorite pay-per-view, like, out of all of them, you know? It was just, like, I don't know, I thought, like, it was kind of lackluster being, like, the last Raw before Royal Rumble, so, I don't know, I'm just kind of tired of her, and, like, I guess she's, like, Gia. I don't even really know what she is, but, like you said, like, she's, like, making this and making that, and she's a heel, but she's going against the other heel. Like, it's just kind of, like, it doesn't really do anything for me anymore.
Yeah, she's, I think, the GM, but then, like, Vince just wanders the halls like a janitor and then makes rules and, like, bumps into people. I'm like, oh, yeah, by the way, if that happens, that's not happening either. Like, I don't really go out there that often. If I see you in the hall, I'll tell you how things are going to go. It's like, you either take them out of the spot and you put someone else in quote-unquote power, or what is this, like, random Vince just like, oh, I was just walking there. Hey, listen, by the way, if any of this happens, yeah, you're done with that belt. Like, see you later, buddy.
He's just passing through. He was going to catering or something and then just decided just to, like, you know, do this and make this rule and that rule.
Yeah, it's pretty, like I said, the booking is pretty random as far as the intelligence level goes, too. It's just like, well, you're just going to have to buy it because. Like, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm just, I don't know, like I said, like Royal Rumble is like my favorite pay-per-view, and I'm just like, I'm not as excited for it as I usually am. Like, I'm just like super pumped for the Rumble, especially just for the Rumble, you know, because you never know like who's going to pop up in there. And like this year, I'm just like, yeah, like obviously I'm probably going to try to watch it, but like I'm just like, eh. Like, I don't really think like the build-up was everything, you know, that it could have been, so.
Well, as far as Vicky, the best thing that she's done lately was be the target of the Rock song last week, because that was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty good.
I even had to just watch. That was the only part of the beginning part that I watched, is when they ran the song back. I was like, oh, I got to watch this again. It's hilarious.
Yeah, no, that was funny. Like, I don't know how she kept the straight face, because, like,
she almost laughed.
The one time she brought her fist up, and it was like, it was perfect.
Yeah.
It was perfect. I really did like that segment.
Yeah, as soon as he started the song, I'm like, oh, this is gonna be good. There's some things that The Rock just completely nails. I often rip him for the other stuff that he does, that he just name drops like 18 companies because he's trying to get endorsement deals, and you know, a lot of that. It's the same stuff that The Rock was doing back then, but now, and like you'll have CM Punk cutting like a legit promo and like digging deep, and then you have The Rock calling him Cookie Puss, and it's like, come on, dude, that is retarded. Like, you don't know how many people I know that actually had to Google what that even was. And they're like, oh, that was an ice cream cake? And I'm like, yes, it was, and it still wasn't funny, and I knew what it was. God. Cookie Puss, Fudgy the Whale. These were, yeah.
Cookie Puss, Twinkie Tits, I think he said at some point.
Oh, yeah, Twinkie Tits. He brought up Snickers and M&Ms, and then he called them Popeye, the crackhead or something. It's just like so many different, like, oh, my God. It's just so many different, here's this company and that company and this company. And, oh, my. And actually, John Cena actually.
Back to money.
Oh, well, John Cena actually got on Fruity Pebbles boxes. There's like a limited amount of like Fruity Pebbles boxes that they put him on the cover recently. And that all stemmed from The Rock starting the Fruity Pebbles thing like last year. So it comes full circle. And when you see him randomly shouting out brands, it's like, I wonder what he's trying to do.
That's crazy.
It is. I mean, there's, you know, so many sports players with million, you know, multi-million dollar contracts, and they still make more off of endorsements. So I guess you can't blame them, but I'm not going to eat that shit up.
So you're not going to buy your kids a box of John Cena Fruity Pebbles?
Oh, absolutely not. I'll buy them like the knockoff ones just that time. You know? I'll buy them Fruit Loops and just mash them up before I do that. Hit a bunch of tricks with a hammer or something. I'm not dealing with John Cena in my kitchen.
No John Cena in your house.
No, no. I cannot see him, at least in my house. I cannot see him the way I like it. They could get me with that prank call. I'd freak out.
Going to try to get you to buy some boxes of John Cena Fruity Pebbles. You're going to be like, stop fucking calling me.
I'm going to take T-shirts and burn them. And yeah. That's actually the big entertainment I've got out of John Cena. Every time I hear his music now, I laugh a little because I remember that. I'm like, well, there's
something.
Did you
think it's a prank call?
Yeah. I just think of a lady losing her shit when that music hits.
Oh, my God. That's like Stone Cold E.T. Like, every time I think of Stone Cold E.T., I just started laughing. Like, that was just, like, so funny to me. Like, I don't know why. I was so retarded, but it was so funny. Like, I laughed for, like, a week over Stone Cold E.T.
The next up, they had Tensai versus Alberto Del Rio. Del Rio, he was getting over the face. There's a lot of Latin people in the crowd, so I'm not going to say it's going to work in every area. But he worked more like a face as well. And, you know, he was getting a little chance here and there. Tensai just continues to just get used as like a pawn for whatever they're trying to do for someone else. It's just like he'll put him in there. That'll work.
Oh. Why are they doing this to him? Like, what
like
did they he
hate
do?
Him. It's like, we'll put you high on the card tonight. He's like, really? Yeah, Alberto Del Rio is going to pretty much just dismantle you.
He's like the kid that, like, always wants to get picked for teams, like, in kickball and everything, and he's, like, the last one, and then, like, they finally, like, call his name,
bro,
and they're like, oh, Tensai, we want you. Like, yeah, you're going to put Kali in, like, a squash match, and it's just, like, I just imagine him, like, kicking rocks, like, all pissed off. Like, poor guy, like, why, like, just fire him already? Like, why are you putting him through this abuse, you know? Like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he was in wars in Japan. I mean, this guy was just killing it. I mean, he spent so much time over there. Like, he was in there with some of the toughest dudes, and they brought him over, and they tried to make him a killer. Like I said before, too, they started off with too many people they were trying to make killers at the time, and only a few stuck. And, you know, Ryback was the one that stuck, and they couldn't keep everybody killing people. And they didn't know what to do with him. When they got off of that, you know, that role where he was just going to squash people, they didn't know what to do with him at all. And I think this is the result. I mean, I don't...
Poor guy, because, like, they did put so much into his return and, like, made it into, like, a pretty big deal. And I was like, oh, this is gonna be kind of cool. Like, they're bringing him back, and he's, you know, he's good, and he's going to be killing people. And I'm like... Poor dude is just jobbing out, like, left and right. Like, when I saw him wrestling Kali, like, he doesn't even get an entrance anymore. I'm like, poor dude. You know it's bad when you don't get your entrance anymore.
Yeah, definitely. They took away the little guy that throws the rice and everything.
Well, I think he, like, turned on him or something, and that was, like, his downfall.
Yeah, and then they,
like,
fired him or something. I don't know what they did.
Yeah, and ever since then, ever since he got rid of his, like, little manager, and then he's been on, like, a downward spiral.
Yeah. I mean, I thought we were going to turn some kind of thing where he turns on the manager, and then the manager actually turns out to be a decent wrestler that I just didn't see before. And, you know, you get the big man versus little man feud for a while, and then go somewhere from there, but it just, no, not at all.
Nope. They're just going to keep using and abusing the poor dude.
Yeah. So during the match, impressive German suplex out of Del Rio towards the end of the match. And obviously, you know, impressive towards the side of Tensai as well, because he's not going to be doing that to the Big Show on Sunday. We'll just,
right.
Spoiler alert, it's not going to happen. Brodus Clay isn't taking that same German suplex. So,
God.
But I was impressed by it. I was like, whoa. And immediately, King, because, you know, he hasn't been anywhere near wrestling, so he goes, belly to belly suplex. I'm like, oh, man. There was none of that. That didn't happen at all.
Maybe he wasn't paying attention.
I had to run it back, like, who just said that? King? Oh, God! You see, if it was, like, Michael Cole or something, I'm like, what?
Maybe his eyesight's going, I don't know.
Something. But it's like another medical thing happening over there on the side. I'm like, oh, is he turning purple?
Maybe it's like a side effect of his heart attack. And I'm not making fun of his heart attack. I'm just saying, like, maybe his eyesight is not as what it used to be.
Only half of JR's face works, and he would still call that a German suplex.
That is true. That is true.
So then... Like I said, he was kind of working, you know, towards the side of a face, because he didn't even finish the match like the way he normally does. He went from that to, like, a step up in Suguri in the corner, and, like, a running step up in Suguri in the corner. And then he completely overshot a second rope moonsault to gain the victory. But you don't even need to hit a moonsault to beat Tensai these days. You could just like kind of, you know, backflip over him and then put your arms on him, and he's all good.
Right, so. Yeah, he's not going to budge, so it doesn't really matter.
I was just like, oh, man, look at him. He's doing, you know, high spots to get over his face, and he's just missing them. Like, oh, man. It's been a while since he moonsaulted, I guess.
I guess. So who's wrestling Big Show this Sunday?
Alberto Del Rio in a last man standing match.
Oh, that's interesting.
For the belt, because Big Show needs all the shine he can get.
Well, I don't think that they're going to change the title. I could be wrong, but I see really running with it for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. I would hope so, at least till Mania, you know, because it's, yeah, Mania is a different story. I think there's going to be some changes there, at least as far as that belt goes. Then you got, they announced Bob Acklin's going into the Hall of Fame, finally.
Right, which was, you know, about time.
Yeah, I think that was another one of those things where they had some difficulties and whatever, you know, backstage stuff with Vince or whatever. But, you know, he's one of those classic wrestlers that, I mean, if you're going to have a Hall of Fame, he belongs in it hands down. And, I mean, that's just kind of like a unspoken. You don't even need to, like, think twice. Definitely should have been a long time ago. But, I mean, there's a long list of those people, too. So.
Right. Do we think that maybe possibly Randy Savage might be going in this year?
I would hope so. I definitely would hope so. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, you know, with the death and everything. I don't know if they want to go with that. I think it would work out great. I don't know how long they're going to wait to actually announce the headliner of it. And, I mean, if anyone's a headliner, it's Randy Savage. But I don't know. I've heard a bunch of rumors. You know, they kicked around a bunch of names as, well, you know, eventually Warrior will end up going in, which even though I was a Warrior fan as a kid, you don't put Warrior in before you put Savage in.
Right.
But then again, you don't put, you know, Pete Rose in before you put... the Macho Man Randy Savage.
I wasn't gonna bring up Pete Rose, but
yeah, there's others too. I didn't really, you know, compile a list of all the anger I have at that whole thing, but yeah, there's a lot of issues there. And I mean, Bruno doesn't want to be in, so you can't, just whatever, they'll put him in when he's dead. But he is so against the WWE Hall of Fame, you can't do it. You just got to leave him alone. And then, you know, when he's gone, they'll do it. But,
yeah,
that's not one I'm, like, you know, upset about, because, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully. Well, I guess we'll have to see, but they just really should. I mean, regardless of what happened or what went on, like, in the past with, like, Randy Savage and everything, like, when it comes down to it, he really deserves to be in it. So, I mean, I'm hoping sooner than later that they'll just, you know, they'll put him in there.
Yeah. I'm wondering, yeah, although they definitely will eventually. I hope it's this year, but, I mean, we'll have to see if it's this year or not. They got to come up with a headliner. I don't think Foley's the headliner. He'll get a big pop and everything, but I don't think they could headline Foley. They've had him too much on TV, and, you know, he's still too current to actually be a headliner. So
no, they'll wait. They'll announce, like, I guess probably the last name will probably be the biggest name or whatever. So
yeah. Then who if they have to, because they always do the, like, celebrity or one of those type of things. Do you have any, like, guesses on what they'll put in there?
Who was, like, a big name recently, like, celebrity-wise, that I don't know.
They put in Drew Carey. And they put in, right, they put in Drew Carey, didn't they, last year?
I think so, yeah.
This is just horrendous.
which I don't even really remember what he did for wrestling.
I think he hosted a Raw or something, and then maybe like a segment with Kane. Like, you think he did something? Kane is like the I'll play with the celebrities guy. He's like Pete Rose in a chicken suit. Absolutely.
he's like politicking to get like all of his friends into the Hall of Fame. Like,
yeah. I don't know. I mean, one that I've heard tossed around, but it really depends on how he is, because he's still a complete train wreck. I mean, he was in the news a couple years ago for stuff he was doing with girls and hotels and stuff. But Lawrence Taylor, just because of the area, you know, that's the only reason I'm saying, like, New York, that's one of those things that we get a pop. If they can, you know, walk him out there and have him not, like, show up in the newspaper the next day for something, you know, wouldn't be terrible,
yeah.
I guess. Tyson's
yeah,
in there
mean,
already,
I think. I guess I could see that, but, like,
oh, Tyson
I don't
was
know.
Last
they
year.
They might catch heat for it just because, like you said, all the stuff that he's done or whatever. Like, people are going to be like, oh, why is he in there? Like, look at all the stuff he's done. But who else? I really can't think of, like, what celebrity. Like, I guarantee 100% when they announce it, we're going to be like, what the fuck is that? You know what I'm saying? It's going to be somebody where we're just going to be like, oh, this is retarded, you know? But
yeah. Dude in the chat room saying, Tyson was last year, Drew Carey was the year before, and Drew Carey was in the Royal Rumble match in 2001. So that's what that was.
Okay.
Whatever. And the other thing, you know, that I was wondering, and again, I mean, if you put Macho Man in this year, I don't know if you want to do another one of these, but, and again, we're kind of going towards the area that they're in, of Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah. That would be a good one. I would fully support that. I loved Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely go for that. But, again, I mean, if you're going to do Savage, I don't know if you want to do another, you know, Gone Too Soon guy in the same year.
Mm-hmm.
But towards the area, I think it would get over huge.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool. Like, I would say that, like, if they don't put Savage in this year, that I would like to see Bam Bam Bigelow definitely go in.
Yeah, but then they need another headliner. I don't know. It's they make this shit up. I don't know. So.
We'll see, I guess.
Yep, definitely. Then they finish the show with your, John Cena at fucking Sunday Super Slam. You know, you just cut one of the worst promos that I needed to see for the rest of this year, and it's so early in the year.
I know.
Someone's bringing up they could put Donald Trump in because they're in New York, so.
Oh, yeah.
That wouldn't shock me either.
Yeah, I could see them doing that. That's a big possibility.
Yeah. But, yeah, so they had John Cena just cut one of the worst promos ever. Like, halfway through, too, like, Nina even asked me, is he a heel now? Because, like, he's just going down this, like, thing, and he's like, oh, I know what your Sunday was like. Oh, you probably did this and this, and last night was like this and this and this. And, like, no one's laughing, and they're just looking at him like, you don't know me, dude. Like, how are you telling me what I do with my son? Like, it was awkward. It was very awkward, and I don't know if he understands how awkward he comes off or what exactly he was going for there. Like, I don't know.
I don't know. I thought it was really awkward too. Like, he was trying to be funny, and he was like focusing on that one woman, and she was just kind of weird looking, and they kept just like zooming in on her, and like she probably felt like embarrassed and like awkward because like thousands of people were, like, focusing on her, and he was just going and going and going, and, like, I didn't understand the promo. I was confused. I was halfway distracted, so I don't even really know much of what he was saying because I just completely lost interest. Like, there's just so many promos on the show, like, so many promos, and just by that point, I was just over it. Like, you know how I feel about Raw being 3 hours, so I'm already trying to, like, keep up with it, and then just all these promos, and then, like, ending the night with a John Cena promo, I was just about done.
Yeah, definitely, and it was just, again, like you said, with this lady, and it's just like, oh, and then you go to the gym, and then you take a picture of yourself in downward dog, and then you come home, and you drink wine, and then you tweet your girlfriend, and then you think about the guy from last night, like, wow, this is getting weird, like, what is wrong with you?
Like, I don't know.
This was some, like, a look into his divorce type promo.
Basically.
Inside the wrestler's studio, like, you know, E! True Hollywood Stories type promo.
it was just weird. I could have did without it.
Yeah, someone saying, go home, John Cena, you're drunk. Yeah, one of those type of problems. Yeah. So then they went to, you know, that pretty much every year they do the celebrational everybody run out that's in the match type thing. And they do that. And, you know, to go over who's actually in the match, let me see. Do I have that somewhere? There we go. So far in the Rumble match, they have John Cena, obviously, because he wouldn't get that promo otherwise. Sheamus, Darren Young, Titus O'Neil, Randy Orton, Dolph Ziggler entering at number one or two. The Miz, Antonio Cesaro, Heath Slater, Jinder Mahal, Drew McIntyre, Wade Barrett, Kane, Daniel Bryan, Kofi Kingston, Brodus Clay, Great Khali, Jimmy Uso, Jey Uso, Michael McGillicuddy. I wasn't sure that they were finished repackaging him yet, so that's cool.
I didn't even know he still had a job.
Yeah, I've seen him on NXT a few times, so I knew he still had a job, but I thought they were, like, really, like, repackaging him because nothing was working when he was up on TV, so.
Right.
Cody Rhodes, Ryback, and Damian Sandow. So that's 23 of the 30 men, leaving 7 open spots. Any guesses on the 7? My cat is bugging.
I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
Oh, any guesses on the 7? Or some of the 7?
I would hope it would be awesome if it would be, like, the 1 year when they had, like, all these random people that, like, you knew they weren't going to win, but, like, I think they had, like, IRS out there at one point, and, like, just all these, like, old-time, like, wrestlers coming out, and just for, like, basically just for, like, to pop people. Like, I thought, like, I would like to see that. Like, obviously, you know, like, they're not going to win, but it would be kind of cool to see, like, you know, have, like, a flashback of, like, old-time people. Like, I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be, like, any big returns or anything. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, been out for a while or hurt or whatever. Like, Santino, like, is Santino, I thought I heard that he was.
I heard he had a pretty bad neck injury.
Yeah, so he probably won't be in there. I'm trying to think of, I really can't think of anybody off the top of my head that.
I was thinking a possibility of, like, a Mark Henry. When they left Jack Swagger, when they had him leave, I think the thought about him was they were going to repackage him completely
and bring him back, and he's still under contract. They really haven't put him on NXT or anything. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him pop up at any given time. And then, you know, like you say, you get some of those just, like, flashback guys. They'll be in there for however long. I mean, even, like, the Boogeyman. They popped him up on the one show a couple weeks back.
Right.
You know, those type of guys wouldn't surprise me. I don't know. I don't know about any, like, complete shockers that I would be, you know, predicting. I mean, they could pull anything out. They have the money to, you know, bring in whatever they want from wherever. But I don't know. I don't know.
Flair?
I don't. Who? Flair?
Maybe Flair, because, like, Flair's been on, like, the shows recently. Like, that would be kind of interesting if, like, Flair came out.
Yeah. One dude in the chat is saying that even ESPN said Cena's promo was horrible. That's hilarious, because they don't really cover
that. Yeah, that's bad. When you have, like, ESPN, like, that doesn't really cover much wrestling, talk about how bad it was.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, a lot of possibilities. I'm sure they're going to surprise us with a few things, but I can't think of much. One thing I could say is I don't think the Shield is actually going to be involved in being in the Rumble, but I do think that they're going to eliminate some people. They're going to run in and eliminate whoever. Might even be the way Ryback gets bounced out of there.
Yeah, probably. Obviously, like, they're, like, one of the hottest things right now with WWE, so they're going to be involved in
the show,
way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be cool.
Yeah, so I would definitely say them. Do you, any thoughts on who might win it?
I would say possibly John Cena. I'm hoping not. But I can see a very big possibility of him winning. I don't know if they're doing if they're setting up for like a Cena Rock at WrestleMania thing. I don't know. Like, that's the only thing I could think of that maybe, like, they're gonna have Cena go over, and then, like, I don't even know if like they're gonna take the title off of Punk and, like, give it to Rock, and then it'll be Cena Rock at WrestleMania. Like, I could possibly see that happening, but there's not really, like I said, they haven't really, like, pushed the Royal Rumble, like, as much this year for me. Like, I'm not as excited about it, so it's not like I'm like, oh, this person's, like, definitely going to win. Like, there's not really anybody that's, like, sparking my interest that I could be like, oh, my God, I hope this person wins, you know?
Yeah. I want to go over a couple more possibilities of that and, you know, the other matches on that. I'm going to take a quick break and then come back, do that, and then do my NFL banter. And then then we'll wrap it up after that. I pulled something I think you might like for this one. So
okay.
One resident describes her horrifying experience when she first realized the complex was on fire.
Yeah. I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Well, I woke up to go give me a cold pop. Then I saw somebody was barbecuing. Ain't nobody got time for that.
hard for that.
Yeah, I'm sure. I know you're big on that. I tried to give you the option to pick a song for a break we'll take, and you didn't get back to me, so I figured, that can't fail.
I was trying to think, and I couldn't think of anything, and then I totally forgot, but, like, that was perfect.
Awesome. So another thing I've heard kicked around is the possibility, because obviously the person who wins the Royal Rumble is going to wrestle a champion of their choice. And the thought that Dolph Ziggler still has his Money in the Bank match. And I think he has until the end of WrestleMania to use it. So, and I've heard it said different ways, but what if Dolph Ziggler wins it, challenges like a Del Rio, loses the match, cashes the Money in the Bank, and wins it at WrestleMania all on the same night?
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
I mean, that's a possibility, because, again, I do think, you know, Ziggler is going to, and he has to cash that in before WrestleMania is over. So, or maybe, you know, two other guys are in there, and then he cashes it in afterwards. I don't know, but there's that possibility. Go on these other matches real quick, and then we'll go with the world title thing. But Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow versus Kane and Daniel Bryan. Tag titles.
I think Kane and Daniel Bryan they're still the tag champs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see that changing, because I think that the crowd is like so into them right now. I don't think they're gonna take it away from them just yet.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, especially they just passed anger management training and everyone's hugging, so they can't take the titles from them now. They just commanded the crowd. Yeah, but I think that'll be a good match. Cody and Sandow are great. Kane, you know, he's been in the business long enough. He definitely knows how to play a role and do his thing there, and Daniel Bryan has just been unbelievable in this past year. I mean, he's always been a great wrestler, but he's really turned everything up as far as becoming a WWE like name in the past, at least year.
Right.
And then you got Big Show, Del Rio, last man standing for the World Heavyweight title. There will be no belly-to-belly suplexes and Del Rio in this match. But,
We'll see.
Yeah, I think Del Rio will retain, I would imagine. But I don't know. If I could fast forward a pay-per-view, I would do it over this match.
not looking forward to that match, huh?
No. Nothing with the Big Show I ever look forward to, other than the end of the match.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, hopefully Del Rio will retain, I'm hoping.
Yeah, he may need to land that moonsault this time, though. And then after that, I'm all for it. I can't see the last man standing match ending with a moonsault, though. So maybe he switches it up. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't even know what to hope for in that match. Obviously, Del Rio wins, but just to go last man standing is never a short match. This is just not good. Then you got the title match, The Rock versus CM Punk. I think the match is going to turn out to be really, really good. I'm not the biggest Rock fan, but, in there with someone, especially like CM Punk, it's going to turn out to be a really good match, I think. There's got to be a ton of planning that went into this match. Punk has that, that right now wrestling psychology that I think he'll make something like new and creative out of it. That's not just going to be like every other Rock match. I think it's going to be a really good match. I think CM Punk is also going to retain. Couldn't imagine that The Rock, with all these different movie deals and everything else, is going to hold the title. If he does, I mean, you're talking between here and Mania, and then he loses it at Mania. But
You know, I wouldn't be incredibly blown away if The Rock won, but I think Punk is actually going to keep it.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope so. I would hope, like, they've invested so much time into CM Punk, and he's held the title for so long, and, like, that's, like, the big thing. Like, I've held the championship for such and such an amount of days or whatever, and then just to lose it to The Rock, not saying, obviously not, like, undermining The Rock or anything, but he's obviously, everybody knows that he's in it for the short term, so why, you know, just completely, like, get rid of that whole, like, streak thing or whatever for somebody that's not, you know, not going to be in it for the long term. And that just pushes Punk even more to the top, you know what I'm saying? He gets a win over The Rock and, you know, all this stuff. And it doesn't hurt The Rock at all, and it just helps CM Punk, you know. So, I mean, hopefully we don't see a title change. I don't think we will either, but you never know. They could shock us, just like, you know, when Daniel Bryan lost at WrestleMania in, like, 15 seconds, like, everybody was up in the air about that. Like, nobody expected that. So you never know what will happen.
Yeah. Well, going back to someone we were talking about before, and I had heard on a show earlier this week, and they brought this up, saying that CM Punk goes over in this match, but he doesn't just go over, and I kind of think that this is going to happen as well. Maybe not the full term, but I want to bring up the, you know, the theory that someone put out there, because it's pretty interesting. Don't really know if I'm sold on the full thing, but Brock Lesnar comes back at Rumble, interferes in the match, and costs The Rock the match, setting up a Rock versus Brock at Mania. Now, the reason why I kind of believe in that is because the way that they phrased it, if the Shield interferes, which Vince actually botched and said, if Punk interferes in his match, and then on the following, like, they went back to the commentators and they're like, wow, so if the Shield interferes in the match, then, so they cleared it up by, like, you know, brushing over that, but what Vince was saying is if the Shield interferes in Punk's match, not if there's any interference, but if the Shield interferes in that match, then CM Punk is stripped of his title. So anybody else can interfere. And I'm still not sure if Brock Lesnar is completely done with the WWE or not.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool, because we haven't seen him for a while. And like you said, like, all the stuff was going around where he said he was done and, like, shitting on WWE and stuff like that. But that could all just be a work just for him to come back. Like, I think it would be huge if Brock Lesnar came back. Like, that would be cool. Like, I would enjoy to see that, because I like Brock Lesnar. Like, I don't know how you feel about him, but, like, I thought he always helped out, you know, he was good for the company for, you know, the time that he was there. And, like, yeah, I guess, like, he didn't always want to play ball, but I always liked him. I thought, like, he helped the product a lot, so.
I'm a big fan of his work. I really like to see him there. I think he does so much for the company. I mean, I think as a person he's a dick, but, you know, that doesn't take away from what I feel of him as a professional. I think, you know, this is a guy, you know, he went to the NFL briefly. That didn't work out. But he was, like, I think at the time, wasn't he the youngest world champion?
Yeah, I think so.
And, you know, came in, took everything by storm. He was just the wrecking machine there. Then he went to Ultimate Fighting, where he rose to the top immediately and then became, like, the baddest dude on the planet. You know, he had all of his health issues and all that after that. That kind of took him out of that and made him kind of take the option to go back to the WWE. But he went back knowing that he could probably legitimately beat anybody up that he's in the ring with.
Yeah.
And I think that affected him a little bit as far as whether he wanted to really, you know, cooperate. Because, I mean, when he came back as a whole different dude. That thing with Cena, I'm still not completely sold when they had that whole breakup, you know, break apart brawl type thing. That one shot that he landed on Cena, they still weren't allowing blood, and he busted Cena's mouth open pretty good.
And I've heard. I mean, obviously, it could just be rumors and, you know, he said, she said, but I've heard from a couple of different sources that there was, like, some heat in the back and there was, like, exchange, like, word exchanges and some physical altercation and stuff, like, after that, so.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure that a lot of that probably was not, you know, supposed to happen.
Yeah. So, you know, after that, I think he probably became, like, a hard-to-work-with guy, but in the same token, for the fans, was extremely entertaining. I've never seen a hit hard for an entire match as the way Brock did for that, that one match that they had.
Right.
I mean, Cena definitely got beat up for the most part. I mean, it was just a really, really stiff match, and I don't normally see Cena in anything that's a stiff match, you know?
Right.
I mean, they could do an Iron Man match, but it's going to be a bunch of moves, and it's not going to be, like, you know, hard-hitting type stuff. But that was surprising, and I think that, at that point, was obviously a work, but it was, like tight, you know? It wasn't...
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't going to be like that. And I heard even backlash off of that was when Cena made that whole, like, yeah, I'm going to take time off and this and that. More or less took the stage after Brock took it to him. Caught a bunch of heat backstage with Brock. So, you know, but again, I mean, it's speculation. I'm not in the back, so I don't know. But there's a lot of stuff said about this was different things. He was just not taking well going back into wrestling. So who knows? But I'd love to see him back.
Yeah, me too. Definitely.
Even if it's, limited dates. And then what they said, too, the possibility of who does Punk face at WrestleMania? And the possibility of an Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
And because I don't know what they do with Undertaker this year. And if they do put Undertaker in a match with Punk, I always thought the streak would never end. But once you hit 20, that kind of puts a cap on it. I mean,
right.
They more or less put Punk over Vince. They put Punk over Triple H. They put Punk over Cena. If they put him over The Rock, what's saying that they won't put him over The Undertaker in WrestleMania?
Right. No, I agree. Like, I mean, I've heard multiple things too. I don't even know if Undertaker is going to be at WrestleMania this year. I've heard rumors that, like, he might not even be doing WrestleMania. So I don't know. Maybe he might just, like, bow out of this one or
possibility.
Or, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I do love CM Punk. You said, he's been they're putting him over all, like, you know, the top guys. But I don't know. I mean, like, I think we talked about that last time. Like, who really would we like to see end the streak? Maybe Punk. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'll have to see what happens and see how I feel about it. Like, I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, that was the one part of that theory that, you know, I had heard that I was just really not completely sold on. But, I mean, if they are really searching for the ultimate ways to make him the new guy for the future, I mean, that is an ultimate forever over type of thing, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's just, I don't want to see, like, okay, you put Punk over, and then, like, the next year, like, you can't get his contract, him to agree on his contract, and then
Right. He's
out, and then it's like, oh, my God, you just hit this huge milestone and, like, changed everything, and then now you're going to see, possibly see Punk in TNA the week after, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I just
Yeah, I'd agree.
I don't want them to do something, like, as big as that, and then, like, the person is not going to be there anymore, you know, so.
No, I agree with what you're saying. It's definitely a huge thing to break or anything like that, but they're definitely laying a nice groundwork of, a resume for Punk as far as being the future guy.
So, right.
Who knows? So I think that's that for all of our pre-Royal Rumble stuff, so definitely be watching it Sunday, and we'll hit that up next week. So I have to go on my football.
Okay, you can go on your football. I'll try to keep up, but, you know, I'm not good with football, but
it's okay. So obviously, you know, anybody who knows anything about football or, you know, just happens to see, you know, there's four teams left on the television and one of them is my 49ers, and I'm a ridiculously rabid 49ers fan. Like I said, just don't even pay attention to the Facebook on a Sunday because I'm not even human anymore. And so, you know, the early game was the 49ers at the Falcons. I almost forgot who we played. 49ers at the Falcons. They don't matter anymore, so it's just us. 49ers at the Falcons. We had to go into Atlanta. Atlanta was the number one seed. So we had to go into their dome, their fans, their home, the whole thing. And, you know, just another, you know, unanswered question and test that we never, you know, had before. We, you know, for those who don't know, we changed our quarterback in, oh man, I want to say like, I forget exactly what week it was, but it was towards the end of the season. To Colin Kaepernick, who's only a second-year quarterback. His first starts ever were this year, and this is obviously his first playoffs. In his first playoff game, he ran for 180 yards as a quarterback and set an all-time record for a quarterback just running the ball and then threw for 260 yards. So just unreal numbers against the Packers, who also set up my issues with somebody. So... I'll get to that a little bit later. I'm just hyped up to be back here again. You know, as a 49er fan, we won in 95. That was the last Super Bowl we won. I mean, to be there now and be one of these elite teams, it's unreal. So we go in against the Falcons. We start off the game. We're down 17-0 in the first quarter. And I'm like, oh, fuck. This is not good at all. Like, we're just getting pounded. Or, yeah, it was something like that. 17-0, early second quarter, it was actually 17-0. So I'm just like, oh, man, this is just brutal. So then before the second half is over, we put up 14 points. Then I'm like, all right, okay, here we go. Second half, we completely shut the Falcons out. We put up two more touchdowns and win the game 28-24. So I am fired up, like beyond fired up. And I had actually went over a friend's house over here, and he's a Niner fan. He had like tons of people in his house, and like pretty much just me and him are the Niner fans, and everyone else was just being nice to him because it's his house. You know, like, yay, Niners. All right, I'm a Giants fan. We don't have, you know, like people with Jets shirts and Eagles shirts and Giants gear, and they're just like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. But it was just unreal. Like, just so hyped up. Like, we're going to the Super Bowl. Like, couldn't. It's like all time high as far as that. Like I said, the last time it happened was 95. I mean,
these guys are in due time. You're in due for a win. Finally, it's been
Mhm. So I was super hyped up. Also, coming out of that game, Frank Gore was fined $10,500 for wearing his socks too low.
Oh, my God.
So there's that. I just found that out today. I'm like, well, that's something.
Well, what does that mean? What does that, like,
well,
why can't you wear your socks low?
I didn't know that until today. Well, you know, they have those big, tall socks, and he had his socks on, but he never pulled them up. I guess he was too hyped for the game, or his ankles or his calves were hot, or whatever it was. So they were just, like, bunched up on his ankles. And apparently that cost you $10,500. I mean, that's...
He's, like, playing different because his socks are low? Like, I don't understand, like, what's the
I guess it
rule.
Just comes to, like, they want things to look a certain way. Like, I never heard of the sock rule. But I was like, well, that's... Okay. I mean, it's more or less, like, one of those, like, take a penny, leave a penny things for a guy like Frank Gore because, I mean, he's a multimillionaire. It's just, like, a slap on the hand. where it would be like a phenomenal day if I ever got that amount of money. Phenomenal.
Oh,
like,
but still, for
half
stocks?
A year.
Like,
yeah, yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money just for stocks.
Sure, sure. I mean, most NFL players probably spend that on socks, but, you know, like I got these Gucci socks. They're, you know, $5,000. I got about 15 pairs. Like, all right. Well, but, yeah, no, it is crazy. I never even heard the rule. So there's that. And then the second game was the Ravens at the Patriots. The Ravens had to go into New England and play the Patriots at home. Kind of same situation. The Patriots went up 17-0 in the first half. Well, 17-7 in the first half, my bad. And then the Ravens completely shut out the Patriots for the second half. And the Ravens put up 7 in the third quarter, 14 in the fourth quarter, and beat the Patriots at home 28-13. And they're going to the bowl against us. Now, one of the crazy things about that is, I mean, both home teams got shut out in the second half. The Ravens are all fired up right now because this is Ray Lewis's last year. And the guys are just, he's an animal. Like, this guy on the field, he's definitely one of the best at his position. He's just a monster on defense. He completely led the Ravens defense back when they won the Super Bowl. And is, you know, he's still there. I think he's 14 years in the league, something like that. Or, you know, I think it's 14. And he's just a beast. So he announced at the beginning of the playoffs that he's retiring at the end of the season, win, lose, or draw. And, I mean, it just completely fires everybody up on that defense because it's like our, you know, our leader is leaving after this. So I don't even think the Ravens would be going to the Super Bowl if it wasn't for this with Ray Lewis, because it really just fired everybody up and it, you know, turned them up to the next level. So I'm happy for the dude. I mean, the road ends here, but yeah, I mean, that's good stuff for him. Well, right after the game, Wes Welker, who's a he's a wide receiver for the New England Patriots, his wife apparently decided as a wife of a player who's going to get like. She was going to get like me after a game if we lose. And she Facebooks this. Proud of my husband and the Pats. By the way, if anyone is bored, please go to Ray Lewis's Wikipedia page. 6 kids, 4 wives, acquitted for murder. Paid a family off. Yay, what a Hall of Fame player. A true role model.
Oh, so, my God.
She obviously caught a little bit of heat off of that. Oh, 17 years. Yeah, 17 years in the league for Ray. Yeah, so then obviously since then she's apologized. No, I just got caught in a moment. It's all right, lady.
Oh, my
God. Holy shit. And, I mean, all those things are true, but, wow. I mean, Ray didn't cheat to win. Your team lost. So,
let the man win a game. Like, so what? What does that have to do with, like, him playing football? Like, let it go.
Yeah, I agree. That's pretty brutal. So she looks like an asshole now. but yeah, I mean, again, and then the Ravens coach and Niners coach are brothers. So that's, like, the other huge thing is, like, these two brothers are going to square off as coaches, Jim Harbaugh and John Harbaugh. So it's the Harbowl, or they called it the Bro Bowl, or, you know, many different things. But it's brother against brother. They've said they're only going to text each other between here and the bowl. They're not talking. They're just, this is all business. So, yeah, I'm super excited. I'm obviously very I could lean towards the sides of cocky for this, but very confident because we've done so much with our team. We've really come a long way, and we've done so many different things to prove people wrong that swore this was the year, you know, this week the Niners go down, this week they go home, this week they go. And I got tired of hearing it, so I have a good feeling that this is going to be ours. And next week we will have Greg Excellent calling in to join us for a little while. And we both have issues with Mr. Greg Excellent. He is a Ravens fan. So this will be right before the Super Bowl, which is on Sunday. Next show will be on Wednesday. And I'll have all of that to talk about with him. And then the weekend following that, I think you have something going on with Greg.
Yeah, just this little thing we got going on called Ultraviolence Fight. That is actually a thing that is actually happening at CZW Competitive Wrestling on February 9th. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. Me and Greg are going to go at it, and yeah, we're planning on going all out for that one, so that'll be interesting.
Yes, it will be a very interesting call we will be taking next week. So there's that. So anyway, my what happened with me online, stemming off of this game, was well, going into the Packers game, for about at least a week before that, I was getting completely attacked and berated and all that. Because me, I get very, as you said, Sundays, watch out on Sundays with J-Cab's newsfeed. But going into Sunday, I'm as quiet as I get for the most part. But a lot of other people do the pre-shit talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I just soak it in. I just let it wash over me. and then when my team wins, it's go time. You know, it's now is my time. Like the leash comes off as soon as that game is over. Now you have to deal with, as long as you talked, at least double that. So what I had was JD Good, otherwise known as the Delaware Assassin by people in Delaware, attacking me nonstop that my Niners, you're a bunch of faggots from San Francisco and everybody there is gay and you're fucking each other in the ass and you're going to lose and this guy's going to kill that guy and rip his head off and fucking this and that. And just nonstop ignorance for like an entire week, making videos, mentioning my name, tagging me nonstop. So I'm like, all right, we'll see, buddy.
Oh,
see you Sunday. So, like I said, Colin Kaepernick went in there, ran 180 yards as a quarterback. I think we put up 500 and some odd yards as a total offense and beat the shit out of the Green Bay Packers. So, you know, obviously I had a lot to talk after that. And I did all the same tagging him as he tagged me. I don't really care about how he feels because, you know, he didn't care how I felt. So that was that.
You're talking about the Delaware Assassin? Is that
the Delaware Assassin. Yes, the official Delaware. Yes. I mean, there's many, but the original Delaware.
The one that fell off the balcony at the ECW arena through a table and then got right back up. That Delaware Assassin?
That one. That's Selling.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you've heard of Selling.
I didn't want to get confused with all the other Delaware Assassins that are running around.
He's
Delaware.
Also jobbed to a ring mat in the ECW, no, not ECWA, 1PW, or 1CW. Yeah,
whatever.
And in Delaware. Well, he was filming it, and he was on the ring apron, and he tripped and knocked himself the fuck out on the ring apron and laid on the floor
until
they got him up.
Like Vader, he Vader plopped off the apron, basically.
Yeah, I mean it was pretty brutal, but you know, that was one of his shining moments. Anyway, so then he goes on to this, like, yeah, well, you fucking ass-packing fags fucking beat us, but next week your team's season ends to the Falcons and this and that. And I'm like, listen, man, like, your team already lost. Like, now you have another team that's going to beat us? Like, come on with this shit. And he's just going on and on and on, and he's got it, and we're a bunch of faggots, and we all fuck each other. And I'm like, okay, great, fucking get over it.
God.
So then he decides on Sunday, now
now he's I guess he wants to be the winner. So on Sunday morning, he posts on my well, first he sent me a message saying, "Hey man, go Niners, NFC all the way." And I just looked like, "What the fuck?" And then he posted on his wall and shit something about, "Yeah, go Niners. They're going to beat the Falcons today and represent the NFC in the Super Bowl." And I'm like, "Oh no, he is not switching sides right now. This is not he's not getting away with that." So I didn't say a shit. I was like, "No, no way." So then, like I said, I go to my dude Steve's house. We're yelling, screaming at each other. Steve's standing on top of a chair doing chants like we're in the locker room after the game. And I get home and I'm like, it's go time. So I think one of the first things I did, I sent Homicide a message because he had told me, because I heckled him, I said, "Your Giants didn't make the playoffs, man. What happened with us, you know, losing again and you guys are going to repeat?" And because he was like, "Yeah, you'll be crying first week of the playoffs because your team will lose and this and that." So that didn't say nothing about it till with Homicide until then. And I'm like, "Hey, Homicide, what happened with us losing first round of the playoffs?" And he's like, "Oh, fuck you, bow down to that, but love you, but yo, fuck you." me and him talk shit nonstop. I think it was that last year's anniversary show. They were on like a roll. I mean, this is where the Giants just beat us in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He was going in, he was wrestling G's, and before he got in the ring, he jumped down, he comes running up to me, he's like, "How about them Giants?" He grabs me, I'm like, "Motherfucker." we have like a steady banter going. So, you know, I don't have a problem with talking shit friendly. So I did that, and then I go Fredo, he became a anybody but the Niners fan earlier that day. I was like, "Oh yeah, by the way, fuck you, Fredo," because Fredo's like, every time the Falcons would score, "Oh, touchdown Falcons," and he tagged me in it with J. Cat Morris, Nina, and da, da, da. I'm like, fucking
chicken Alfredo.
Yeah. And I'm like, "All right," so I hit him up, "Yeah, fuck you, Fredo," and then, you know, I'm bragging, and finally I'm like, "Oh yeah, and I didn't forget, you don't get to be a Niner fan today, JD Good. Go fuck yourself," or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So then he pumps up. "You don't fucking talk to me. Don't think I won't drive down to your house at Lenoka Harbor and beat your fucking ass in front of your family." I'm like, "Dude, hop in the car."
Oh my God.
I'm like, and then I'm like, "Oh, he's going to be pissed tonight," because I'm hyped. And I'm just like, "Get in the car, you fat asshole."
Oh,
he's like,
"My God."
He's like, "Oh, well, I don't have a car." It's like, "Exactly. You're a fucking bum. You ain't coming here." I was like, "You wouldn't like what happened if you came here anyway." And just got into this whole thing. It goes like back and forth. I mean, this guy goes from like, "I have a broken back and my hand is getting surgery next week," to like, "I'm going to punch everybody in the face." And I'm just like, those things don't go together. Like, we learned at Sesame Street, like, one of these things is not like the other. Like, it just doesn't. You're not allowed to have both. So I'm just like, "Whatever, dude. Like, you know, you're going to kill me, okay? Just come over then. I mean, you're 3 hours away.
Over a football game, mind you.
Yeah, you're going to drive here because your team lost last week. Okay." So it was just that. Then this guy goes and he starts calling me, like, clan words.
Clan words?
Yeah, he's busting the clan words out on me. And, I mean, I think
does
I'm
this guy
just,
have, like, fetal alcohol syndrome? Like, what is wrong with this guy?
I don't know. So then I'm like, "Oh, you know, you're a racist piece of shit and you're not coming to my house anyway. So, but anyway, hop in the car, you fucking bum." So I'm just riling him up at this point, 'cause I'm hyped up and happy anyway, and obviously drunk at this point of the night. So I'm just like, "Fucking bring it on, buddy. Like, come on down." Like, I'm just egging him on the best I possibly can. He's losing his shit on Facebook, all caps, the whole way. And eventually he blocks me, but he forgot that I have his number, because he would text me and shit about doing the show, and I let him do the show once. So now I text him like, "Oh, mm-hmm. You blocked me, you fucking loser." So I know he, after that, and now meanwhile, my sister-in-law is seeing this shit with some dude just, like, threatening me on Facebook. He blocked me. And she's seeing this, and she's like, oh, man, let me find out, like, is something going down with my brother-in-law tonight? Like, what's up? And I'm laughing and shit. I'm like, whatever. And I didn't know till the next morning. She's like, Nina's like, oh, Katie was, she was stalking his Facebook page after all of that stuff was going on. And he's posting, like, satanic pictures and saying that the Reaper is coming for J. Cat Morris and fucking I'm speaking to Satan at midnight tonight and he's going to die and, like, all this death threat shit.
Oh, my
I'm like,
God.
This guy is fucking stupid. Like, all of this shit's on public record, you asshole, first off. And you don't even have the intention to come to Jersey. That's what is wrong with you? I don't know. I just figured more people should know.
It's cool to be passionate about stuff, like, you know, passionate about wrestling, passionate about football, and like you said, like, he, like, talks shit, it's all in good fun. Obviously, like, he's taking it to another level, like, oh my God, don't even get me started with that guy. Like, he, something is mentally wrong with him. Like, obviously, if he's getting to that point where he's going to come down to your house with the invisible car that he has, and he's,
and Satan,
like, wishing...
yeah, Satan, and the Satan's riding shotgun.
Right, of course, he's like boys with Satan, and you know they're going to come down.
I think he even said something like that.
Like,
he's my friend. We talk.
Oh my God. Seriously, I really believe that he has fetal alcohol syndrome, and there's something like seriously wrong with that guy. Like, I was like Facebook friends with him for a while, and I guess like he friend requested me, and I usually like accept everyone, and like I don't delete anybody unless like you've like done something like personally to like piss me off, like if I got into like a personal argument with somebody. But I've never really deleted anybody. I had to get this guy off my Facebook because just the stuff that he was posting, it was like, I don't know, like an 8-year-old, like, just, like, posting, like, nonsense and then, like, him just, like, trying to get, like, bookings. Like, he was, like, posting, like, oh, CZW, like, DJ Hyde, if you're listening, like, you need to, like, book me on your shows. Like, really, dude? Like, you've supposedly been around the business for, like, fucking 40 years or whatever you say, like, and you're, like, trying to get bookings by, like, tagging DJ Hyde in the post, and, like, and
oh,
then, like,
the shit he posts is crazy, and this was all my ammo. Once I decided that, like, the switch is flipped, I'm just like, dude, you're begging chicks to bang you on your Facebook, like, randomly. Just like, any ladies out there aren't happy with your man, come by, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, you look so horrible right now. Why don't you browse
ladies.
Your Facebook friends? Because that's the only people who are seeing this stupid post of yours. And point out which one you're talking to and send them a private message, for Christ's sake.
Oh, my God. Well, if any ladies are listening right now, just know that the Hellaware Assassin is here for all your sexual
your
needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That guy is fucking crazy. I hope,
but,
like... I hope he doesn't put, like, a curse on me after this.
Well, it hasn't worked out from Sunday till now, whatever he did with me. So, I don't know. It is what it is. I don't know. I just, the whole thing is ridiculous to me. Like I said, I talk shit. This is, with football, I'm ridiculous. And if I'm able to get into a fuck you homo conversation with Homicide... I don't give a shit about the Hellaware Assassin getting butthurt. I'm sorry. This is not what I was going for.
J. Cat Morris versus the Hellaware Assassin, Cage of Death 15, I'm calling it right now.
Yeah, right.
I
can tell you who the referee would be, and then we'll just have to do one of those ref bumps.
It's going to be... Steel horse. Oh, no. Heroin addict Brett Lauderdale.
Oh, wow. That was a That's unbelievable.
Hopefully he'll be dead by then. And then we don't have to worry about that. But
let's
if hope. So, then... Okay, if you ever have Black G's on your show again, I know, like, we're running into the wee hours of the night here, so I won't keep it long, but, like, if you ever have Black Jews on your show again, ask him what my death van is. We have something called a death van, and I'm not going to, like, put his business there, but, like, let's just say, like, if I had it my way, there's a van that I would put people in that would just drive off of a cliff and burst into a mass amount of fucking flames. So, let's just say that there's one certain referee that has been mentioned that would probably be in the driver's seat of my death van. So we'll put it at that. Sometimes it gets up to like a death bus, and then there's been a death train. So that's when you know like I'm really pissed off. But
right.
Yeah, you'll have to ask about the death van because we like to exchange stories about that. But we have a lot of common names that we agree, but definitely.
Awesome. I definitely will ask him about that. Well, yeah, I mean, I think I covered everything I want to cover tonight. You're going to be back next week, right?
Yep, definitely.
Awesome. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on with CZW pretty much after next week. So I think we'll get deeper into that next week, but, you know, anything you want to throw out there, you know, have at it.
No, just follow me on Twitter, and maybe eventually we'll get you to join the Twitter.
Listen, okay, I forgot about that. I told you I have a Twitter, and every once in a while I try the Twitter, and I hate the Twitter.
You're not trying hard enough. You're not trying hard.
Just off of some of your tweets, I go, see, this is why. This right here is why. I don't get it. I don't get it. And every time when you post one of those, I comment on the Facebook going, this is why I don't understand Twitter. And I just leave it at that.
But if you are on Twitter and you took enough time out to look at it and see what it's all about, then you'd be like, oh, wow, fucking Twitter is awesome. Like, I'm just going to tweet all the time.
Okay.
Because
I feel like I need, like, a decoder ring or, like, a chart to go to and be like, what the fuck does this mean? Like, all right, we get, like... Can I put one out
there? It's not that bad. It is not bad.
Can I put one out there and get the decoder ring right now? Number drunk, number ginger, number blow me. What the fuck is that supposed to mean? That's your whole tweet.
I was hammered.
That's your whole tweet.
It was hashtagging. Like, you could hashtag
yeah,
it, like,
but
make
number,
it, like...
hashtag, whatever. Like, that's your whole statement.
Okay, well, I was at a bar, and I was kind of hammered, and me and my friends were talking about, like, a ginger. And I'm not going to get into all of that, but it just has to do with a lot of hashtags and stuff like that. But,
if you're on Twitter, you would understand. I see links and hashtags and abbreviations. It's just like, dude, there's no words here. There's nothing. So one day you just decided you just post whelp like 8 times in a row and call that a tweet. And it's like, really? This is what is that? Most of those are like I've been
Chrissy has been drinking and she's either watching like Raw or like old Nitro and is like popping for like Mantar or like something stupid. So like that's usually what that is, but like,
do you know how much better that sentence came off than these tweets that I have to see? This is why I don't get tweets. You can tell me in two sentences or I understand English. Tweets, I don't get it. You gotta click on stuff and you're like, I didn't sign up for this. What is this? And then there's
stop.
It's like one
you're
giant
missing
inside
me and Greg's
joke.
Whole Twitter feud. Me and Greg's whole feud started on Twitter, and me and him go at it on Twitter. We say the most vile, horrible, insulting things to each other. Like, it's awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One day.
Like I said, it's just like one big inside joke, and I'm the nerd that doesn't hang out with the cool people. Like, I just walk by and be like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm just gonna keep on. I'm gonna go that way. Y'all go ahead. I ain't hear shit. I don't know. I'm just confused by the Twitter.
Don't be the 10-size Twitter, Jay.
Don't what?
I said don't be the 10-size of Twitter.
Well, I'm jobbing to the Twitter now.
Twitter bandwagon.
I'm not jobbing to the Twitter. I'm not steel horsing the Twitter. I just don't understand.
All right, one day we're gonna get you on there. Don't worry. I'm gonna get you on there eventually.
That's my goal after I beat up Craig Excellent. Yeah,
huh?
I gotta hire someone to Twitter for me and then translate what people are saying back to me, and then I could do that. Like, I need a Twitter correspondent, and then I could Twitter.
Twitter for dummies, like a Twitter for dummies book.
Yeah, kind of, but like a translator, you know, like that type of thing. I'll walk around with somebody, like, what are they saying on Twitter? Like, oh, well, they said hashtag this,
and
then
you could always ask Hellaware Assassin.
Yeah, he's awesome with stuff and technology and smarts. He's good with smarts. And logic. Well, no, logic doesn't go on Twitter, so I can't even get that.
No. You don't need logic to go on Twitter.
Clearly. So, anyway, I had to break into that real quick, just because I know you got on the Twitter thing last time, and I wanted to give you progress on how I still feel about the Twitter. Even heightened since the last time.
Nothing has changed, obviously.
Absolutely not. I've only gotten more examples to why I hate Twitter. But so we'll definitely catch everybody next week. I'll do the plugs and all of that stuff. It's been a blast, and we'll definitely have a lot more stuff to talk about next week. Like I said, if you you want to contribute whatever kind of songs or whatever you want to do or topics, you know, it's all you. So we'll do this again next Wednesday. Same time.
Definitely. I will be there.
Awesome. So I guess real quick, plugs, Wrestling Soup, check them out Thursdays. Sports Den, they're on tonight, but might be over, might not be over. I don't know. Catch them on the download. Stern Nation, Women Love Wrestling. I think Two Moms, One Show will be back on next Tuesday. As long as Tank's okay. And then check us out next Wednesday. We'll see you then.
All right, see ya.
Booker, I want to have sex with your wife. And I'm not just talking any kind of sex with your wife. No. I'm talking, you know, that kind of bestiality sex with your wife. You know, what I want with your wife, Charmel, I want to have a